Mike Show.
Today we have witnessed an earth-shaking discovery.
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
Who are you guys with? NBC, CBS?
Radio God.
You gave up jobs, security, show business?
The Don and Mike Show.
We've got a show today.
Come on, guys. We're on the air.
Have a good show.
Produced by 106.7 WJFK, Washington Superstation.
It's going to be a great show.
All right, well, good luck.
And distributed by Westwood One Entertainment.
We should thank our lucky stars. They're still putting on a program of this caliber after so many years.
Participate in a Don and Mike Show contest. How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. Only contest rules. Send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Mighty WJFK. P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Number one, Arbitron rated, the Don and Mike Show. Last time on the Don and Mike Show.
Bob, can I have a placenta and peanut butter sandwich?
Of course you can. Yes, let me get my butter knife. Mmm, that's good placenta.
I was walking down the hall with a piece of chocolate. I was walking down the hall with a jar of placenta.
Hey, you got your chocolate in my placenta.
Hey, you got your placenta in my chocolate.
Wow, wow. Reese's placenta.
The Don and Mike Show.
Now I have a message for all you good, moral Christian people who are complaining that breasts and vaginas are obscene. Hey, don't complain to me. Complain to the manufacturer. Okay? And although Jesus told us not to judge, I know you're going to judge anyway, so judge sanely. Judge with your eyes open. What do you consider obscene? Is this obscene to you?
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Bonjour. Hello, Donnie. Bonjour. Hello.
Throughout our travels in France,
yes,
over the last week and some odd days, everywhere Rob and I went, we would see this man's picture in churches, women wearing him around their necks, and we would say, who is that? How do you say who is that in French, Rob?
Qu'est-ce que c'est? Qu'est-ce que c'est?
Bill Hochberg!
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
You know, Phil had a lovely vacation, too.
Oh. Did he hide?
Yeah, he spent the whole week partying in Manhattan with A.J. Soprano. He really had a good time. So good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Banania and all the ships at sea. They're the executive directors of the Paula Poundstone Daycare Center. Hey, welcome back to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. Well, the nation's nightmare is over,
mm-hmm.
Or perhaps it's just begun again.
Yes.
We're back. Hello, and thank you for listening to Don and Mike's show. New episode on Thursday.
And a little belated, but happy birthday, America.
Thursday, July 5. Well, let me just start the show with this.
Very good.
Taped live last week in France.
Okay.
Guys, you got the sirene.
Yes, we did. Real thing.
It's not a loop, incidentally.
Now, is that chasing you?
You hum yags.
Yeah, exactly, Rob.
I just picture you guys with a, here comes the sirene.
Well, we almost fell on the ground laughing the first time we heard one. And then the second time we heard it, we fumbled for the tape recorder.
Right.
And we're both just falling down laughing, but trying very hard not to say anything so as not to ruin the audio quality of the French ambulance.
You got it, though, and you get it going by.
Yeah, we're just standing there holding the microphone out.
Yeah. That was in a little car?
It's like a clown car. Yeah,
yeah, that's what the Inspector Clouseau car is, right. What I expected.
All right, well, settle back, everybody, and get set.
Because I'm going to tell you a tale now.
Okay.
That's going to curl your hair.
Mm.
Tell you a tale about my alleged vacation to France.
Alleged?
Well, no, it ended up being a vacation to France.
Good.
But it didn't start off being a vacation.
Mm.
Now, I do have both audio and visual aids. Now, I know that the visual aids will only be helpful here in the studio.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to them. I really am. I've been looking forward to, even before we went on vacation, I knew that this was going to be a day that would be filled with stories of your trip to France.
I have not only pictures that I'll be showing you and Buzz, but I also have tapes of Rob and I on the street.
Very good.
Talking to French people.
Excellent. That's good.
We also have tapes of our favorite French radio station.
Oh, wow.
Radio Nostalgie.
Nostalgie, which was a real French radio station.
Yes, it was.
Wonderful.
It sure was. It was a very French vacation, let me say that right now.
You know, I have been trying in the office to read you, and I'm getting mixed signals here that did have a good time. You seem to like the French, but, you know, and then you look at me and you kind of go, well, I guess it was great. And you're like, yeah.
Listen, the thing is, it's tough for me to go back on 20 years of bashing a country.
Right.
Let me just say that I still hate the French. However, I think most of the French people that I met in the part of France that we went to,
right,
they must all be consolidated and live in this one small niche area by
So what you're saying
by Nice, France.
You were a goodwill ambassador, and you did find the French to be pleasant people to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, you're disappointing a tremendous amount of people.
Well, no, Rob tells me that the people in Paris, where Rob went later after we went our separate ways,
obnoxious.
Rob did say that they smelled and that they were rude and rude.
They must have the technology for air conditioning, but I don't know why they choose not to use it. You know that the subways there, you roll the windows down?
Oh, my God.
I swear to you.
Underground?
Yes. It smells like you're riding around in armpit hair. It is the worst.
So, okay. I'm just going to get to this. There's no easy way to finesse into this. They're just going to tell you what happened on our vacation when my family and Rob's family went to France.
To France. A trip that was inconceivable a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Who would have thought?
Well, you know, I'll do anything for my wife, and I made the point of telling her on quite a few occasions, I will do anything for you, but this is the only time that I will do anything for you.
You know, I know that often when you socialize with people, you would invite a buffer couple to take away the awkwardness of being with people you've never been with before. I looked at Rob as kind of a buffer for the country of France.
Yeah, and Rob was a beautiful buffer for the country. Unfortunately, Rob was not a buffer. First off, you know, we've socialized with Rob and with his wife and his kid before, so it's not like we had to hide any of our real life family dramas from the Spiewax.
Yes.
So, the good part about having Rob and Carrie with us was that they're wonderful companions and they were really a joy to be around. The bad thing is that they know us so well that anytime Frida wanted to yell at me, she would just yell at me. Anytime I wanted to tell her to eat one, I would tell her to eat one. And a lot of this happened in front of Rob and Carrie. Mainly while we were driving.
Well, you know you don't have to hide anything from Rob, or you know, and Rob's not going to lay a judgment trip on you, because he'll be fired.
But if it was, someone who I didn't know very well,
right?
I think a lot of the tension that mainly came with directions and with driving,
not the best road sign,
would have been muffled. But because we are so we
have
are
a
familiar.
Joie de vivre,
we're familiar.
French would say
we're familiar with Rob.
Use that French word there.
With Carrie, it would, for instance, it was not out of the ordinary for me to just whip around while I was driving, turn around and point at my wife and say, "You told me to turn there. Shut up."
Right.
Just shut up. You know, and for her to point back at me, no, you shut up. There's a red light there.
Now, pardon my ignorance, but is it like England where you drive on the wrong side of the road?
They drive on the right side of
the
road.
They do.
Really?
They drive
on the right
side. I didn't know that. I thought it was the other side.
In France. So, okay. Let me start off with another part that's going to make you the happiest.
What?
It's the part where we were the most unhappy. Because I know you don't want me to come back and just tell you what a great time we had.
No. But I know you did have a reasonably good time.
Yes, we had a reasonably good time once we got to France. I'd like to start today's show with a big, high, all-American,
F you sideways, F you up the backside, and stick a hot poker in there to my good friends at British Airways.
Oh, my goodness. We take on an international carrier.
Just my Yankee ass. And yesterday, I celebrated the 4th of July because, you know what? We got our independence from the goddamn British, and they own British Airlines.
Wow. British Airways.
Airways. Yes. Here's the deal. Saturday, however many days ago this was, 12 days ago, Saturday.
Right.
Saturday. We're supposed to be at the airport at 3:30.
Right.
For the flight that is supposed to leave at 6 p.m. to take us nonstop to London, at which time we will immediately change planes and be in Nice, France, and as we are on the way to...
France.
Well, that's how they say it.
Nice, France. Yes, bonjour.
I am on such a good mental place. I'm feeling so good on Saturday as we're on the way to the airport.
Right.
We're in the taxi cab on the way to the airport, and I say to Frida, you know what? Really? This is going to be so fantastic because it's going to take us the same amount of time it takes us to get to Sacramento. Because when we all for the show go out to KHTK in Sacramento, it takes us like 12 or 13 hours to get out there.
It's really and it's not because it's, you know, not close by air.
No.
Just the way you have to get there.
It's not convenient. I said, do you realize? I said, this is so great. In the same amount of time it takes us to fly from Dulles, Washington, D.C. to Sacramento, we're going to be in freaking France. Fantastic. We get to France.
As you register the miracle of air travel.
We get to the airport, and things are great.
Right.
We got the tickets. We're set. We got our seats. Rob and Carrie have their seats. Bart has his seat. Everything's fantastic. We get on the plane. Pilot comes on. Hello, this is your pilot. We'll be flying non-stop to London, and we have a good tailwind tonight, so I think we'll be on... actually, we won't be on time. We'll be ahead of schedule.
The way they say schedule.
And just so happy to tell us everything is lovely weather all the way through. We're going to be quiet the entire flight, so you can sleep. And let's take you out on the apron, which is what they call the tarmac.
So now, okay. So now the guy...
So far sounds good.
The pilot's fantastic. What he said basically is, the flight's going to take us an hour less than he thought. He's going to shut up for the whole way to London. And pretty soon, everybody's going to be drunk and asleep.
Beautiful.
So, he pulls the plane out on the driveway there.
The driveway.
out on the runway.
To the apron.
And again, he makes no announcement to anybody because he's already promised that he's not going to say anything. Well, we notice the plane's supposed to leave at 6 p.m.
Yes.
It's now 6:30. Plane hasn't left yet. 6:40. Plane hasn't left yet.
Huh.
Now, about this time, our jolly old captain gets on the radio.
Hello.
Hello, mates. This is Captain Chesapeake, and I'm sad to tell you that we have a slight problem with an indicator with the...
Robin, it was the indicator for the...
De-icing valve of the left engine.
The de-icing valve of the left engine. Now, I know that... right now, as you look outside, your current temperature is 92 degrees, which is 28 Celsius. And you might be thinking, why would we even need such a contraption? Well, because we're going to be flying into some bad weather where it's going to be cold. But I don't think that this is going to be a problem. Let's give the technicians 10 minutes, say what, and then we should be on our way. In the meantime, thank you for flying British Air.
So, oh, boy.
Now,
oh, boy.
He announces it's going to be 10 minutes later. Yeah. Well, it's now 20 minutes later. It's 7 o'clock. It's been 1 hour since we've been supposed to take off.
Oh, my God. Air travel.
He gets on the thing again.
Hello, love. Captain Chesapeake here. If you're on the right side of the airplane, you can see the mechanics working on the problem right now. The good news is, what with the tailwinds, if we can get this problem taken care of, we should be in the air momentarily, and we will still be arriving in London ahead of schedule. Thank you for flying British Airways.
Okay.
Now, are people beginning to murmur a little bit, or is everybody still pretty, Rob said yes.
Not yet.
Not yet, okay.
Not yet. Now, let me preface this by saying that on the night before, on Friday night, there were massive storms in the D.C. area.
Yes. Really?
Yeah, well, I know you know this, Mike.
Yeah.
So, the 6 o'clock flight on Friday night had been canceled because of the weather. So on the 6 o'clock flight on Saturday night,
you had all of the people who were booked on the Saturday flight, plus the people who had been shoved on the airplane from the Friday night flight.
Right.
So those people who had already been waiting for 24 solid hours to leave.
Oh, my God.
They were starting just, there was just a hint of a murmur of maybe of a revolt. But there was just a few people that were on the plane.
And who could blame them? I mean, you know, 24 hours. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, just wait.
Okay.
Just wait. Now it's,
this is cool.
Plane's supposed to leave at 6. Now it's 7:45.
Wow.
And the pilot comes on and says,
hello, love. It's Captain Chesapeake. Well, as you can see, the mechanics have not quite worked out this problem. It is simply an indicator, but we cannot leave unless the indicator works. We are still planning on taking a leave of absence of Washington Dulles within the hour. So we're going to start serving you some dinner and drinks now. Please sit back and relax. If all goes according to schedule, we now should only be arriving in London 20 minutes past our scheduled arrival time. Thank you.
So people are starting to chill out now. But okay, because you can look outside the window and see them scurrying around with the airplane.
Trying to work it out.
They're coming up and down the aisles with the food carts, and they've turned on Frasier. Everybody's watching the TV, and you're getting your free drinks. And next thing you know, it's 9:30. We've now been on the plane for 3.5 hours, sitting. And at that point,
9:30.
Wow. There was plenty for
okay, I'm just taking it as I get it.
9:30. I turned to Frida, and now I'm one of the people who's murmuring. Now I said, we're at.
That's a good long time for you to murmur. Now we don't wait to murmur.
I said, well, I had a drink.
Right.
Said, you know, okay, 3.5 hours.
And you're on vacation, so it's, you know.
We're not going anywhere. Right. I said, I guarantee we're not going anywhere. And now we've missed our connection flight.
Right.
By now, we're going to be screwed either way. We're either going to be stuck here or Jesus Christ, we're going to be stuck in London.
Mm-hmm.
My wife says, well, listen, you know, she says exactly what you said. Chill out. You're going to be stuck in London. There are lots of worse places to be stuck. We'll have a nice day in London. Let's say, okay, no problem. 10 o'clock. No word from the pilot.
We've now been on the plane.
Been on the plane for 4 hours.
Oh, Jesus.
10:15. I guess you not. 10:15.
Hello, love. Captain Chesapeake here. Well, as you can see, apparently the problem with the indicator is not going to be able to be fixed tonight. So I'm afraid that we're going to have to cancel tonight's flight. We will make every possible attempt we can to get you on tomorrow night's flight to London. In the meantime, we will attempt to get you on a local hotel. But for now, we're going to have to ask that you simply sit on the tarmac while we retrieve the luggage. We estimate we should be sitting on the apron for no more than another hour. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
So now.
Now that's when you're trapped.
Yeah. Now, we're realizing that we're not going anywhere, and we've been on this goddamn airplane for 4 hours.
Jesus.
Time is creeping along, and it's now 11 o'clock. We've been sitting on the plane, on the apron, on the tarmac, for 5 hours.
I just want to say, I came into the office. I didn't know you went through this. I had a
just kid. Just wait, Mike.
I just wanted to say one thing. I'm going to let you finish, because I'm not going to even tell my story. Because I thought I had a bad... My flight was canceled. I thought I had a bad story. You've already passed it, and now it's... And you're midway through it, right?
We are on the airplane for 5 hours. When...
Oh, God.
A couple who's sitting next to us, who have been on this plane for 5 hours, and have had their flight canceled the night before...
Oh, my God.
The guy, this is the guy who loses it.
Well,
as the waitress is coming up and down the aisle, telling everybody, you just got to sit here. We don't know how long you're going to be. You got to get your luggage, and we're going to try to find a hotel for you. This guy stands up, and he says, listen, I was supposed to be in London yesterday. You have screwed me 2 days in a row. I don't want to wait for my luggage. I want off this airplane now. And the girl says, well, I'm sorry, sir, but I can't help you. You have to wait until the Captain Chesapeake says everyone can leave. And, you know, she turns and...
Now, are you at the gate now, or...
No, we're still sitting out on the...
So all this maintenance was taking place out on the apron, as they say.
Yeah, on the apron. So while the girl walks away, the waitress walks away, well, this guy goes through his bag and finds his cell phone. And over the next 30 minutes, he worked his way up the food chain to where apparently he gets some muckety-muck with British Airways on the phone. He calls the stewardess back, and he says, hey, have you ever heard of Prince Charles or whatever this dude's name that he's got on the phone?
Right.
And she says, yes. He says, he wants to speak to the pilot. So the girl takes the guy's cell phone. It's 11:30 now.
You can blame the guy.
And takes it up to the front of the plane. Comes back about 5 minutes later, and she says, very quietly, now Frida and I hear this because we're
right.
He goes, the captain says you two may leave the plane now. If you'll please gather your belongings and come with me in a quiet fashion. Well, as soon as this happens, I turn to the guy sitting behind me. I go, hey, look at this. This guy gets to leave.
At all? Well, how are they going to get him off the plane?
What they do is they pulled up the, they pushed up the little,
they brought up the, just for this
the
guy?
The rolling stairs, just for this
oh
guy.
Oh, my God!
They bring the rolling stairs up for this.
That's like a mutiny if anybody else sees it.
Well, yeah. I guarantee that it's happened because I'm saying now to the people behind me,
hey, look at this. This guy's getting off the plane.
And slowly I see it. As this knowledge goes all the way from the left-hand side of the plane to the right-hand side of the plane, and the other people who had been delayed 24 hours already, they start standing up and saying, hey, how come that guy gets to leave? We should all get to leave now. We've been on this plane for 24 hours. And then when another stewardess comes back and goes, no, there's a special exception here. He's going to be the only one that's allowed to leave. Everyone else must remain on the plane.
Oh, that is so wrong.
However, we would love to give you another glass of champagne if you would just give us a few more moments. So now, while we're sitting on this goddamn hot airplane, it is now 9:45.
Wow.
And the one guy who has gone ballistic, they let him off. But everybody else is still on the plane.
You've been on this plane from 6 p.m.
Yes, and finally at 9:50, they announced that what they were going to do was get us off the plane, put us onto buses, where we were going to go to the luggage area, where we could reclaim our bags, at which time they would put us on buses that will take us to a hotel.
God.
So, it is now 12:45 a.m., as we are all standing outside the baggage carousel, watching them go around, waiting for our bags. We get our bags. It is now after 1 a.m.
How are you doing?
Pissed. I'm at anger. Because keep in mind, right now, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. It's 7 hours later.
Right.
We should have been in London.
Yeah.
And instead, I'm still in Dulles Airport getting my goddamn bags. Mm-hmm. We get the bags. We go out to the bus. They say that they're going to have us at the Hyatt Hotel.
Yeah.
If you've ever been at Dulles Airport,
mm-hmm.
as you drive out of the airport and get onto the toll road, what do you see? The first thing you see.
It's right there.
A gigantic friggin' Hyatt Regency Hotel.
Yeah, and that'd be very close to the airport.
You
convenient.
Cannot miss it.
Sure.
And I know you think I exaggerate,
right.
I call as my witness, the very honest Rob Spiewak. Rob, how long did that bus driver drive around trying to find the hotel, which is off the first exit of the Dulles Toll Road, which you can see from the friggin' airport?
I know this is a local reference, but I think it's important because a lot of people that listen in this town will understand. We left the airport, got on Route 28, went to the Hilton, that's about maybe 4 miles up Route 28,
right.
Got in the parking lot. Left the parking lot. Continued, I guess it's outbound on Route 28 to Route 50. Got on Route 50, got back on 28, back to the Hilton. Stayed there. This is my favorite part of the night because this is when Don stood up in the bus and yelled, hey, you're killing me!
Because nobody... All these people, there were some British people,
right.
But most of the people are from D.C.
Right.
Nobody's got the balls to say anything to this retarded bus driver.
So this has been a half hour, and we are now further away from the Hyatt than when we left the air.
So at this point, I stand up. It is now 1:15, 1:30 a.m.
I stand up,
and I say, hey, you're killing me. Where do you want to go? Do you want to go to the Hyatt? It's about 10 miles that way. I'll drive. Go this way on the road. Turn the bus around and go the other way.
So it took us about 45 minutes, I would say, to get that 2 miles. Because we went via, like, Shanti.
Oh,
we went all the way up into Chantilly and back.
I mean, you're 10 minutes from the hot... You're less than 10 minutes.
5 minutes. You step off your...
5 minutes.
Step off the airplane, and seriously,
you're there?
No ass, you're 5 minutes. The guy took us 45 minutes to get.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
So this is from... A flight that was going to leave at 6 o'clock, and it's 1:15 in the morning.
No, it's now 1:45.
1:45 the following morning.
And keep in mind, we had arrived at the airport at 3:30, since that's what all good travelers do arrive 2.5 hours before an international flight.
Sure.
So, it is now 1:45 a.m. as the guy pulls up to the hotel that he could have pulled up in front of 45 freaking minutes ago. I jump off the bus because I'm not going to stand in another line with every other schmuck that was on this airplane to get a hotel room. We are simply going to, and you might be wondering, why didn't we just go home?
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Because I didn't want to walk in on Lisa having sex with her boyfriend in my house, because Lisa was the house sitting for us. And also, at this point, we've asked the people from British Air, when are you going to get us out? Well, love, we don't know. There will be a flight tomorrow at 5:30, a flight tomorrow at 6. Although, because we have 2 days of backup flights, the flight may leave as early as 7 a.m. So you're best served going to the hotel for the night, and a British Air...
All right, that makes sense.
A British Air representative will be glad to help you.
Right.
Well, of course, we get to the hotel, and where is the British Air representative? Well, who the hell knows? There's nobody from British Air there. So I jump off the bus, and I go to secure one of the upfront spots in line to check in, and then coming up behind me, I got Rob and Bart and Carrie and Frieda. They're lugging all the luggage.
Right.
You
got
to remember that the first thing when we get off the bus is we see a wedding couple. And they are about to get just about run over. I think the bus seats about 50 people.
Right.
50 cranky travelers are just about to run these people over on their way to their wedding night.
Unbelievable.
And
they as they walk by me, I say, good luck. I want to tell you something. Your marriage is doomed. And the groom actually stops and says, what? And I said, I'm telling you, this hotel is unlucky. This group of people that you're running into right now is unlucky. Your marriage is freaking doomed.
Oh, God. Had you had a couple of cocktails on the...
No. Now
this is just pure anger.
Sober, tired, mad. Mm-hmm. Now we're waiting in line. It's now 2 a.m. We are waiting in line in the hotel. As I am one person away from checking my family in, checking Rob's family into the hotel for the night, at 2 a.m., the a-hole in front of me says, oh, here comes the wedding couple. Hey, come on. Hey, kids, you don't have to wait in line. Oh, my God. Come on up here. Come on. Check in. And everybody else in line is going, like that. And I'm the only one that's mad. I'm the only. Everybody else is applauding. And I'm saying to people, why are we letting them cut in line?
Anger.
Because it's their wedding night. I said, great, it's their wedding. They got the whole rest of their lives. We've been 9 hours. Let's get into the friggin' room. So finally, at 2:15, we got into the room.
It's incredible.
So we were roughly 12 hours.
I mean, you hear about these kind of stories like usually make the papers when you're talking about sitting on the tarmac that long.
Roughly 12 hours to go, approximately maybe a mile and a half.
Right.
Okay, when you consider where the hotel was from the airport.
Right.
So, of course, there's no one from British Air there. We check into the hotel. We go upstairs. We get in our room. I call British Air, and I get the thing, please stand by for an operator. And I sat on hold for 45 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Until 3 o'clock in the morning, till I finally got a live human being who said to me, you're not scheduled on any flight tomorrow. And I said, well, I just got bumped off the flight from tonight, from last night, Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. We're going to be seating the people who were bumped from Friday evening's flight first priority. I say, well, that's great. F you. I'm going to go to the airport first thing in the morning, and I'm going to make this right.
Right.
So I hang up the phone. I'm pissed off beyond belief. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to bed. We wake up the next morning. What time we got, Rob? We got 9:30, something like that.
Pretty early.
9:30, and Frieda says to me, British Air says that the plane's going to be leaving at 6, and they've got a shuttle going to the airport at 3 o'clock. And I said,
start all over again.
I said, you know what? Not today, honey. Today we do things my way. I'm not waiting for a shuttle to stand in line with every other goddamn hunyak that's been bumped from a flight.
Right.
What we're going to do is
We're going to meet the Spiewacks. We're going to go downstairs. We're going to have a power breakfast. We're going to eat as fast as we can. And we're only going to eat at this hotel because they give us a goddamn coupon for the free breakfast.
Uh-huh.
Then we're going to get in a cab, and I'm going to pay because it's going to cost approximately 50 cents to drive half a mile from the Hyatt to the airport.
Right.
And then we are going to get to the airport at 11 o'clock in the morning. And I don't care if we have to wait at the airport for 7 hours. We are going to make sure that we have the first 5 tickets on this plane. And my wife says, fine.
What can she say?
You're in control.
So we go downstairs, we eat. I'm telling everybody, Rob's wife, God bless her, is the slowest goddamn eater in the world. I'm sitting there just going, Carrie, can you chew a few more times on it?
Yeah, just wash it down. We got places to go. We got things to do.
We got to get to the airport. So we get to the airport at 11.
So much to do at Dulles Airport.
We get to the
airport.
Sunday morning.
Worse.
Incidentally, it's the second day of our vacation.
Yes.
And we're at the airport at 11 a.m.
Having a great time.
24 hours of your vacation has basically been just completely screwed.
Mm-hmm. Right. We spent half of our vacation so far standing in lines.
Right.
So now we're standing in line again on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. At the British Airways terminal.
Now, you're getting there early. Was there less of a crowd scene?
There was a moderate crowd,
okay,
which was not helped by the retarded people who were working behind the counter.
Okay.
But again, even then, I'm trying to put a good spin on this. I'm saying to Rob and to Carrie and to Frida and to Bart, I'm saying, imagine how bad it's going to... Imagine what a fuster clock this is going to be...
At 3 o'clock.
Later today, sure. when the bus with all the stupid travelers arrives, because
mm-hmm.
we're so smart, we are here way early.
Yeah.
Well, we waited in line for 1 hour.
Behind only 4 people.
4 people,
including the guy with the purple lips.
Guys, this is truly amazing.
I can't tell you. It gets worse.
Oh, God.
Well, it gets a little better, and then it gets worse.
What's really great is at this point, we spent so much time with so many mad people that we've spotted people that we've recognized.
Right.
And we know their traits.
Right.
And there's this one guy that was one in front of us who, I swear to you, has purple lips.
Oh, sourpuss.
Yeah. And his big thing is he put his glasses up on his forehead every time he'd get mad. And he walks over to us. He says, you know what the effing problem is here? No one wants to take responsibility. No one's at fault. That's the problem here. No one will take responsibility.
Guy just screaming at us.
but you like people like that in that situation.
Yeah. Right. Because, you know, comparatively, it makes us look calm.
Sure.
Even though we're nuts. So we're waiting there for 1 hour.
Right.
4 people in front of us in line. Finally, we get up there. And through walk you through this scenario and try this screen and try this and try this. Finally, 2 hours after we arrived in line,
right,
we had secured our tickets for the 5:30 flight to London on Sunday.
So you're on the plane.
Yes. Now, at this point, for the moment, we're very happy. And we're partly happy at the expense of others because by this time, we've been in line 2 hours.
Right.
The line behind us now has got maybe 100 people in it.
Okay.
Everyone is being told that there's nothing they can do until the regular British Air flight people come in to help them. Yet they see us walking away from the counter. And as I walk away from the counter, I wave at them with my ticket.
Right.
To show them I've secured a seat on the flight. And as I walk away...
Perhaps a little bad karma come your way if you're gloating like that.
I hear from behind me, immediately, the people, hold on. He got his ticket. How come he got his ticket?
Yeah. So you're leaving them in your dust, pandemonium.
We don't get our ticket. So, now, it is 1 p.m. We have 5 hours until the flight.
God.
My wife says, hey, you know what? We can go to the stupid British Airways lounge. So we go down to the lounge, because we're not in first class. They have they have the first class lounge. We're not in first class.
Mm-hmm.
What's something they call business class.
Right.
They have a business class lounge.
Right.
We go there. We try to open the door. Goddamn thing is locked.
Closed.
We go back down to the first class lounge. We ring on the doorbell, and the dude answers the door. And he says, hey, how you doing? And we say, hey, fine. Can we stay in here? And he says, are you flying British Air? And we say, yeah. And he says, are you flying first class? And I said, yeah, sure we are.
No, even better, you just said, here's our tickets.
And the guy says, well, it's my first day, so come on in.
Now, at this point, this is when it gets good. For a brief window, it gets good.
Right. Eye of the storm, right here.
Because Rob and Carrie and Frida and myself and Bart, we are in the first class dining lounge at British Airways, where they only let muckety mucks in.
Right.
I mean, this thing is...
I mean, it's a fortune to fly overseas first class.
This thing has got tables with linens and silverware, and they've got an open bar, and they've got...
Yes, they do.
They've got free food, and, I mean, it's like...
Great.
We're loving it.
Is it crowded in there, or is it...
We're the only people in there. We're doing stuff like we're just opening bags of Doritos, and we're pouring ourselves cocktails, and putting our feet up on the couches.
Right.
We're thinking how great everything is, and it was at that point that Rob called you and left you a message on your cell phone.
Yeah, Rob?
Yes?
I was so curious when I got that message because I knew that it wasn't just at random. I knew something had to be going on, well, and you sounded like perhaps you were feeling no pain.
Yes, then. Well, there was, like Bob said, a free drinks there, and it was afternoon, so we...
Rob sent a message to me, said, Mike, we miss you, we wish you were here. It just isn't fair.
And so we called you, we called a few local radio stations.
Oh, yeah, Rob called Charlie Donovan at Oldies 100.
Yeah, okay. You know, that's good. That's good. Wow. Never in a million years would I have guessed the circumstance.
There were not... well, I wasn't bombed because there was no booze, but there was tons of beer.
Well, by this time, you know, some time had passed and the open bar was out of Bass Ale. And then it moves on to the next phase. Oh, the guy leaves.
Right, now listen. No, hold on. Rob and I leave the lounge.
Right.
Because, frankly, Rob's getting bombed, and I said to Rob, you know, they don't have any liquor here. I want to go get a martini. Let's go down to the martini place and the smoking lounge. I got a cigar. And
the famous Dulles Airport martini place.
and then, of course, we told our wives, I need something at Brookstone. And then it's off to the smoking area.
So right. we leave and, you know, we go down and I'm having my drink and having a cigar. And Rob bums a cigarette off this English dude.
This Irish guy.
That's right, an Irish guy.
I think he might have been a relative of yours, really. So he was great.
About a half hour later, we make our way back to the British Air first class lounge, and we ding dong ring the doorbell, and there's no answer. We go, and there's no answer. Again, we know. And I hear from behind the door my son's voice, and he goes, Dad, is that you? And I said, yeah, it's me. Open the door. So he opens the door up just a crack so he can see that it's me and Rob, and he lets us in, and I say, I got pissed. I said, Bart, what are you doing? Don't be answering the door. And he said, Dan, no. I'm in charge. He says, the guy from British Air left. He had to go do something else. And he put my kid in charge. And he told my kid not to let anybody else in the lounge.
What had happened is that big crunch, they needed every British Air employee at the front lines to check people in.
Yeah, because the 3 o'clock people were around.
Right, so he left Bart in charge with the instructions saying that you and your friends can stay, but no one else can come in.
Wow.
So now, not only are we the only ones in there, we're in charge of the first class.
Oh, my God. Now, there's no one in there.
No, it's just us. And what's great is every time the doorbell rings, I get to go to the doorbell. And I'm fighting Bart over this bridge.
Right.
And I open the door. And
you use a British accent?
No. Because I'm seeing the people who were on the flight yesterday.
Right.
Coming by, and the guy says, hi, is this lounge open? And I said, nope, I'm sorry, it's closed. And he turns to me and he says, well, he's in there, and he points at my kid. And I say, oh, he works here. Goodbye. Boom. Shut the door in the face. So now we're really loving life, okay?
This is a great moment.
But then,
probably disregarding the fact that these people are probably going to find someone from British Airways.
Mike, you are a mind reader. Because no less than 10 minutes later, these two broads come in from British Air, and they go, hi, what are you doing in here? And, you know, immediately our story sounds like bull-ass.
Sure.
Say, well, there was a guy who was working here, and it was his first day, and...
He come down with something.
He said we could stay here. Then Bart says, he put me in charge.
Uh-oh.
And they totally don't believe us. They say,
right.
Do you realize that this is the first-class lounge? And I said, first-class lounge? Doing that thing like, what?
How long have you been in there?
Oh, 3 hours.
Good, all right, good.
And I mean, it is, it's a pigsty. There are bottles and glasses and candy wrappers and sandwich wrappers everywhere. We've used every piece of silverware in the place.
Yeah, you got your most done. Well, they owe you that.
Filled our bags.
yeah, we did. We ripped them off from these little candies and cookies they had. And they had Diet Cokes in these little teeny, like, 3-ounce cans.
Right.
Cute, little like fruit juice cans.
So I went over to the refrigerator and just opened up my wife's carry-on bag and put like 25 of them in there.
which seemed like a funny idea at the time, but it would eventually come in handy.
Yeah, good.
We had them.
So we get kicked out of the first class lounge. The girl says, "This first, can I see your tickets, please?" And I go, the guy wrote our tickets down. She says, "I need to see the tickets." I said, "Well, I'm sure that we belong here." She, "Can I see the tickets?" She looks at the tickets. It takes her 1 second to look at the tickets. She goes, "Oh, no. You are not flying first. you must go to the lounge 5 doors down."
Oh, yeah. Put me in your place.
And
there.
She says, "That doesn't open for another 25 minutes. And in their defense, they let us stay there until the other lounge opened.
Oh, good for them. All right.
So that was good.
So we go down to the other lounge, which is not as nice. But at that point, we're happy.
Sure.
We got our tickets to get on the plane. We've had a couple of drinks. We figured that we've gotten something back from British Airways.
Right.
Because British Airways has screwed us.
This is amazing.
Just wait. Just, I can wrap this first part up in just a few seconds.
Right.
We finally get on the airplane. We take off for London.
Right on time.
We take off on time.
Right.
Everything's the same as the night before. As a matter of fact, it's the same pilot. It's the same waitresses. Everybody has the same seats.
Same meals.
What they've done is they brought in another plane.
Okay, good.
So everybody that was on the plane that had been canceled was on another plane.
Right.
Beautiful. We get to London. We arrive in London. No problems.
Perfect.
So you're still in the eye of the hurricane.
Yes, right. Everything is still great.
Okay, good. It's a good long window.
Things are still great. We got a slight layover in London to wait to catch the plane to France. And it's a nice wait because we're in the Heathrow Airport and we're looking around and, thank God that Europe, you can smoke anywhere. I mean, I can have a cigar anywhere. Rob can have a cigarette anywhere.
Right.
You can have a dinner with somebody and blow smoke right in their face. And nobody cares.
It's pretty cool.
So I'm loving them. Walking around the airport, smoking. Rob smoking. We're drinking, having a good time. Thinking, so we got screwed out of a day.
Yeah, 4 hours and we're there, baby. 4 hours until vacation.
BFD. So finally they announced the,
"Hello, British Air Flight 123 to Nice is boarding now at gate 58A.
So we think, we are fat, we are there, we get on the plane, we sit down, and then the pilot comes on and says,
"Hello, love, this is Captain Chesapeake."
Same guy.
Well, they all sound the same.
He says, right.
"We have a slight problem. Apparently we do have a passenger who is not on the flight, even though he is ticketed for the flight, and he has a bag that is checked. So what we're going to have to do is pull the plane off the runway, take the man's baggage off the airplane, and unfortunately I've just heard from the tower that this will push us out of our rotation to takeoff, which means we will be delayed by approximately 2 hours. Ooh. Thank you for flying British Airways."
Ooh. Now this to us is maddening. Because I'm thinking of all the times that we've flown.
Yeah.
You ever imagine getting on an American plane where they say, "Hey, listen, we've just noticed that Mike O'Mara is not in
right.
his seat."
Right.
So not only are we not going to take off because Mike O'Mara is not on his seat, but...
You know why they do that, don't you?
Why?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because people check bags that have explosives.
If it was anywhere in the States, they're not as... But British Airways over...
Well,
you know,
it wasn't a bomb. It was
They Xerox. They X-ray the thing.
But they freak out when somebody's... When there's luggage on the plane and there's not a passenger to go with it.
Right.
That's kind of what happened in...
I wish you would have said that because it just sounded like they were just being pricks. That there was just one guy and they wanted to...
I think that they probably don't say that because they probably wouldn't want the people with the, screaming for the front door when they heard that there might be...
We're close to having people screaming anyways.
Right.
It made no difference.
So we're waiting 2 more hours, which turns into 2.5 hours, which turns into 3 hours.
Oh.
This is absolutely unbelievable.
We are simply just sitting on the apron. Now, if you count the time that we sat on the apron on Saturday night, and the time that we sat on Sunday, just with the regular takeoff, and the time that we had to sit on Monday, we logged nearly 20 hours just sitting on the airplane, not moving.
Yeah. It's incredible.
So.
They owe you, boys.
Finally, 3 hours late, the plane takes off. And at this point, we say, listen, unless this plane runs into a mountain today, right, we got it made now.
Can't miss now. You're We're sad. Almost there. It's only like a 90-minute flight.
Plane lands. Welcome to Nice.
Beautiful.
Very easy airport to get through. We walk right through customs. It's I'm going to tell you, you want to go to France? No problem. They don't even check your passport. They just say, go ahead.
Your mom could write you a note. It's in France.
We get to the customs thing. It's like, no problem. Go ahead. We think, beautiful. Here we are.
Oh, la, la.
We are standing at the baggage carousel. We are standing at the baggage carousel. We are standing at the baggage carousel until we realize...
Didn't lose your leg.
1 hour later, yes, out of all of the bags...
Guys...
British Airways...
This will be impossible.
Lost our freaking luggage.
Oh, my God.
Every bag.
We had five passengers. Five bags. And the only five bags that were lost were our bags.
Unbelievable.
Only five bags. So now at this point, I am out of my... I'm walking around this airport.
I'm scared at this point.
And I'm saying to Frida, you know what? This ain't good. I want to talk to somebody. And she says, don't make a scene. It's nothing. It's just a luggage. It's just a luggage. It's just every piece of clothing that I brought with me. It is just everything that I need to survive.
And you're in your clothes that you've been in for quite a while.
For 2 days.
Right. Mm.
Because I didn't even change... Well, no, I changed my underpants when we were in the hotel on...
Thank God.
On,
that's good news.
On Saturday night.
But, unbelievable.
But it's now Monday. It is officially the second day of my vacation. And I finally arrived in France, and the pig effers lose our luggage.
God, everybody's.
Yes. No, it didn't. No, just the people that were in my party.
Right. I mean, Rob, mine, yours, Frida's, Carrie's, Bart's.
Probably like a total of seven bags, I guess, for everybody. They're all gone. Nowhere to be.
Do you think it had something to do with the fact that you checked in so early?
It had something to do with the people that don't know what they're doing is what it had something to do with.
After all this.
So now, at this point,
wow,
there's a lady who's waiting there to meet us to take us to this place that we're staying at.
Like the real estate agent that hooked it up with the house.
Yes, now.
Nice lady.
Unfortunately, they have these rules in Paris that unless you're flying, or not, where is this, in Nice? Not in Paris, in Nice. They got these rules that unless you're actually flying on the flight, you can't come in to talk to anybody. So we are standing, the five of us, like idiots, in front of the British Airways terminal thing going, you lost our bags. And the lady who speaks French is not allowed to come in because she's waiting for us beyond this concrete wall.
Right.
Because she's not a passenger. And she's...
So now you're and British Airways doesn't have anybody English speaking there to deal with?
Blah, 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 blah. No, everybody speaks French. So at this time I say to Frida, all right, you know what? I'm going to go to the other side. I'm going to go past the security and go past the concrete wall. I'm going to find this broad who I don't know, and I'm going to send her back. So I go through the other side, past the security. I get out there. It's a sea of Frenchies. I mean, it's 200 French dudes and women, and they're all... And I just cut my hands around my mouth, and I say, hi, I'm from America. I was supposed to be here about 36 hours ago. My plane just came in from London and my luggage is gone. Are you here to give me a ride? Hello! And amazingly, I see a hand go up in the back.
There
she
is.
It's this broad Suzanne. And she comes up and she goes, and she went immediately. Yeah, I don't want to talk about that,
okay,
Rob.
Okay, okay.
Immediately.
She's very nice.
Why did you point to your teeth, Rob?
Because she was smiling. It was so nice to see a smile after what we did.
She's British.
Right, okay.
She's British, even though she lives in France.
Oh, okay, very good.
By the way, the first thing she wants to do is give me the goddamn kiss on each cheek, you know. And I don't feel like kissing her. It's like I, you know, I just put out my hand and say, hi, Suzanne.
Hello.
And a very nice, very nice.
Hello.
Very nice.
meet you.
Very nice to meet you.
I said, you won't believe everything that's happened. And I start to tell her, and as I'm telling her, I realize that she really doesn't care because her life is great. She lives in France.
Surprised she didn't start to cry.
She says, okay, well, let me go in and handle this for you. So I go, great, how will you get in? And she goes over to the intercom, and she presses the button, and the voice says, I guess in French, you cannot come in here. And she goes, door opens up, and we go through.
Hello.
She comes around. She starts talking French to them. She turns around to us, and she says, well, here is the news. Your bags will arrive sometime today. I said, great. Do you know when? No. Does British Air know when? No.
But they have your address.
They will bring them to you.
Okay, well, let's...
Now,
yeah.
Let's go, huh? So at this point, you know, it's like, okay, F this whole trip, F this whole thing.
Oh, my God.
We're in this country. We hate it already. There's nothing good happening.
My God. I mean, a lot of people pull the plug, you know, after you've gone through that.
Yeah. We go out. We get the rental car. And now my wife, the whole way over, she has said to me, we've had an argument about who's going to drive. And I've said, we'll get the rental car with both of our licenses on the rental car. I said, but I promise you, if you allow me to drive, I will drive in a safe, conscientious manner. I promise you I will.
Some things never change, is that right? But you're entitled to drive after all you've been through. You have to have some pleasure.
This girl,
and driving gives you pleasure.
Great pleasure. This girl, Suzanne, she says, follow me. We're about 15 minutes away. And I'm telling you, this broad, Suzanne,
yes.
Her driving, Rob?
Bad. Like nothing we've ever seen
like
on the road.
Bad as in slow or bad as in all over the road?
Bad as in bad out of hell. I mean, gone.
She's going, I'm not kidding, 100 miles an hour.
Welcome to France.
She's going left. Right, left, right,
up
left.
The mountains.
Right.
I mean, these are like the side of the Alps we're going up at wicked speed.
It's like the curly Q type roads that we're on.
Sure.
And this broad is passing on the double yellow.
Oh, wow.
She is, she's weaving, she's driving on the shoulder of the road.
Oh, man, that'll make your teeth chatter.
The unexpected left turn for no apparent reason, just out of there.
Yeah.
So we're just gritting our teeth and doing the best we can.
Will you stop it?
I wasn't even there, and I'm enjoying it.
No, I thought that we were not going to talk about her teeth.
Okay, then we won't.
All right.
Her teeth.
Okay.
Because she was very nice. Probably
very nice.
You know, this is the kind of crap that's going to get me in trouble tonight when I go home. Okay?
All right, listen. Let's just let's just break right now.
My God.
Oh. The trip from hell, gentlemen.
Break now. Okay?
You locate with me in the office.
I'll tell you more in just a moment. But at this point, we're officially in France. We have no luggage, but we are in France.
Oh, well. Well, it doesn't matter if you don't wash your clothes. You develop a stink.
877-365-3636. That is the phone number. Come on. Play a game today. Dial with your teeth. Be the 100th caller at 877-365-3636. The first prize package back from vacation for you.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
I don't appreciate the French as a people. I find them annoying.
Adored by all their money fans, Don and Mike.
Now let's get our first call 100 back.
All right.
Hello,
Don
and Mike Show. Hello.
I am caller 100.
Yes, you are, my friend. What's your name?
Steve.
Steve, where are you from, Steve?
Cedar Falls, Iowa.
Steve, you won the Sex and the City prize pack. Don't miss the sexiest show on TV, Sex and the City, Sunday night at 9, Eastern, 8 Central, only on the home box office. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening, Steve. Don't ever fly British Airways.
Never will.
Oh my Thank God. You. Hold on, please.
You know, all this is for your own safety, though.
I'm just kidding.
Then kiss my all-American ass.
Yeah.
You really can. And apparently it happens so often.
So when we last left you, you had gotten to France and you were without your luggage.
Yeah, just let me tell you one last thing about British Airways.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Who, incidentally, before the end of the show, should call 877-365-3636 to offer me 5 free round trips. Fares anywhere in the world I want to go.
Absolutely.
Because they effed us so bad.
when the flight was delayed on Saturday, when we're sitting on the tarmac for 7 hours, right. They came up and down the aisle with, they already have the complaint form ready that says, they handed it to you, a thing saying, we're sorry that your flight had been canceled tonight. Please fill out this form to let us know how we can help you in the future to do avoid...
And just what you want when you've been 7 hours on a plane. You want paperwork.
To avoid the delay. So I had to fight every instinct I had just to take it and scratch with my bloody finger. F, U, C, you know, on the letter. But, I mean, that's how... used, I guess they are,
yes,
to screwing people out of their time and to being delayed, that they actually have a form that they give you.
I'm not surprised.
That says, mm-hmm. Sorry that we screwed you out of your vacation.
It's astonishing.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we finally get to Paris. Or I don't always keep saying Paris because I was never in Paris.
You got to Nice.
I was in Nice. And Buzz, I wanted,
Nice, France.
Wanted to buy you a shirt because you know, because you're nice.
Right.
And they had all these shirts that said Nice, N-I-C-E.
Right, Nice is just another word for nice.
Every day we kept saying we got to buy one of those for Buzz, and every day we forgot.
Well, right? Maybe with your replacement tickets.
So anyway, we finally get there, and we're following the crazy lady driving through the mountains.
And you're doing the driving.
Yes, I am. And frankly, I've a couple of times, en route to this place we were staying at, I lost her.
Right.
Because... I had promised Frida that I'm not going to drive crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, as we are making our way through the mountains and going up these loop-de-loops, I'm saying to Frida, hey, look, you want me to keep up with this broad? I got to drive crazy. I can't drive crazy, right?
And she
says, no, don't drive crazy. Mm-hmm. So I'm driving normal. I'm driving very slow, and this, like I mentioned, I think Rob said this girl a couple of times, she's out of the blue, just turns left.
Yep.
Oh, hold on, who is on the line? Hello?
Hello?
This is British Airways? Sure better be.
Hello?
Is Lisa there?
Who is this? This is Don and Mike. Who is this?
This is Jessica.
Jessica, honey, don't call on this line. We're doing our show.
I know. This is what Colette told me to call.
Oh. Hold on. Is this the Ferengi?
No.
Jessica, Jessica, how do you know Lisa?
This is Jessica who works there.
Right, Jessica's a Ferengi,
yeah,
right?
Your Jeff Hedges assistant, yes, right? That's correct.
Oh, the blonde lady.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Hey. Hi, Jessica.
Call anytime. Hi, Jessica.
Or come by.
Yeah, Jessica, anytime you need Lisa, just come by.
Okay. Isn't she in Costco anyway now?
I don't know where she is. You better come in here, though.
Oh, good.
Are you calling from inside the building?
Uh-oh, Charlie's here now.
Charlie Broyhill?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Well,
oh,
shocker.
Yeah, there he is.
Shocker that he materialized.
Yeah. The only decent-looking woman who works here.
I'm just funny. You're joking. You've had a very harrowing experience.
I'm just funny. Hello?
With air travel.
She's gone. You know,
you don't mean that, Mr. Geronimo.
Isn't that typical?
Well, we're not on the air.
That's typical. The only really, truly hot woman that works at this place.
And not true.
As soon as she's on the phone with us, Broyhill's there.
And she's gone!
And she's out of our lives.
Oh, really?
She's gone. All right, so we get to Nice. We get to Nice. I follow the crazy lady driving up to the place.
Nice France.
We get to the...
Nice Franz.
Nice.
Nice Franz. We get to the house, and I'll show you a picture of it.
Oh, visual aids.
Yes. Yes. Now, this will... and it's really, that's not a disease you get in your eyes.
No.
Yeah.
Good.
I got the visual aids. There it is. There's a house.
It's a lovely house.
I know a lot of you are waiting for what my first comment would be about how France is like some other place.
Right.
My first comment was, it looks like Southern California.
It does?
Because if you look at the house...
Well, you're in Southern France.
The style of the house is very Southern California.
Southern France.
And later when we went to one of the many stupid shopping villages that we had to go to, like for instance, Mike, let me find a picture to show you. On one of our many shopping excursions...
Right.
I did point out... Oh, like right here? See, this is the cobblestone with the narrow street.
It looks lovely. It really does. It looks delightful. It looks like, wonderful.
I said, this is like Disneyland. You can go to Busch Gardens, and you can see this.
I mean,
you don't have to go all the way to France to see this kind of crap.
That is true. That is recreated. But see, some would say that's the original deal that you get there.
Well, it's 6,000 miles, that's called St. Paul de Vence.
Right.
Or it's about 180 to the old country in Williamsburg.
And it's actually, I know you're a big fan of the old country
Love
in Williamsburg,
and
Rob.
They're both very nice. The food is
so
better.
I'm so glad you guys traveled together. I don't think you both would have handled it alone.
I don't think so either. So we arrived at this house.
Yeah.
I think I'll make some of these pictures available on that Dumb Don and Mike fans website.
Right.
Yeah, because you can really get a feel for what the little village is like.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll show some of the pictures of Rob and I in the ocean together.
Yeah, Don and me in our hideaway.
You have to show the picture with you with the red drink. And Rob.
That one?
That one. Please put that one on
Beautiful
the internet.
Picture.
Well,
that really is.
That's a couple days into the trip now.
It looks like you're over your... So you got your luggage then.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Now, we arrived at the house.
It's incredible. I swear to God that you guys are even maintaining it. You're not, like, booking a plane back home.
We arrived at the house, HAUS, late in the afternoon on Monday. So technically we've been gypped out of 2 days of our vacation.
Yeah, I was just looking at some of your pictures. That's all.
And we have...
Okay, so anyway, so you're at your house.
I'm going to talk about that later.
Okay.
We get in the house, and lo and behold, there's no AC. I walk in the house, and the first thing I say is, whew, God damn, it's hot, like someone's shoe in here. Where's the air conditioning? And I go walking from room to room to find the air conditioning, and that's when Suzanne, the real estate lady, says to me, air conditioning, we have none in France.
Ah.
You can open up the shutters if you like.
What's the temperature roughly?
About 90.
It is hot, and you know what? It was better when we got to the house, but in Nice itself, which is like a city, it was a real sticky 90, and I remember, Don, I was in the front seat of the car we rented. He said, Rob, I can't seem to get the air conditioner to work. See what you can do.
Right.
We're just zooming around, and I said, well, the reason the air conditioner didn't work is there's no air conditioning in the car.
Of course not.
And there's basically no air conditioning in the country.
No, none to be had.
Mm-hmm.
None to be had.
Wow.
It advanced people, but they don't like the creature comforts.
we get to this house, which you can see very nice, like little split level on a mountain. Frida immediately got mad, although not mad, she got upset,
right,
that as we were standing on the deck overlooking the beautiful mountains, Carrie, Rob's wife, said, and rightly so, she said, hey, doesn't this look like the beginning of MASH, of the TV show MASH? And I said, yes, it does.
Like that same kind of hill?
Yeah, I said, hey, Frida, come here. I said, Carrie just said something great. And Frida comes outside, like, ready to get a bit of European elegance.
Right.
She said, what? And I said, Carrie just said that. She's so right. I said, see this around here? And Frida goes, yeah. And I said, doesn't it look just like the beginning of the TV show MASH? She was about to smack me.
Sure.
I swear to God she was.
You are in the south of France.
And then Suzanne calls, and she says, great news. British Air has found your bags.
Very good.
They will be at the airport by 8:30 p.m.
Well, that's good. At least you know they're on the way.
Monday night. Well, of course, Suzanne had other things to do than just go to the airport and get our luggage, so we sat around with our thumbs up our asses most of Monday night up until 10:30, 11 o'clock, waiting for the bags to show up.
We did catch, was it French or German Popeye?
Oh, yeah. Now,
good TV over
Rob
there.
And I did enjoy some nice German TV.
German TV.
We're not, you see, the part of France that we're actually fairly close to.
Have you resumed your eating schedule here? That you, was that a banana that you were, you know? I'm always curious.
And on to carrots now.
Okay. Healthy food.
It is, yeah. That's a good habit to get back into, because the eating was not especially good over there.
No, it's
we were
not.
Only about, I think, roughly, I had an argument with Carrie yesterday, about 50 miles from Italy and not too much further from Germany where we were.
Right.
So there was a lot of different languages that you could find on the TV.
And, mm-hmm, of course, Frida was disgusted that we had arrived in France after 2 days of travel, and the first thing Rob and I wanted to do, well, we had no clothes or anything, we wanted to watch TV.
She couldn't have been surprised, though, I would think.
I believe she was.
Really?
She said, let me get this straight, because as soon as we got into this house and I figured out it didn't have air conditioning,
right,
I opened up all the shutters and I immediately went to the TV and said, hey, Rob, give me a hand with this. How do you get this goddamn thing turned on? So as I recall, Rob, the button to turn it on was located on the left hand side of the goddamn French on the left hand side, not like on the front, like on a good American Japanese TV.
Right.
So we finally get this baby turned on.
One of those Renault TVs.
We get this baby turned on, and we start flipping around. And for maybe half an hour, Rob and I watched the German version of Jenny Jones. Her name is Nicole.
Okay.
And we didn't understand a word that they were saying.
But you just laughed at the language.
Yeah, and also the fact that the format is just like Jenny Jones or Jerry Springer, in which there's a door, and someone comes through the door, and the studio audience yells at them, and then they sit down, and they put on the Cairo underneath them, whatever it is that's wrong with them, and people yell at them, and she yells at them, and we watched that. We watched Popeye the Sailor Man in German. We watched the game show that was like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Gosh, no.
When the person loses on this game show, the seat drops from underneath them.
Right.
And they just fall down this tube.
Cool.
It's like they get a question wrong and the host says, 9! And all of a sudden, ha! Whoosh! The person's just, he's gone.
So German programming is available in France.
And the one good station that we really would have liked to have had was screwed up. The Euro MTV had like a CNN audio feed. So you'd be watching like a Janet Jackson video and then they'd be doing the peace treaty that we signed in Kosovo.
Okay.
So that was wrong.
So you get the BBC over there too, or
I don't know what it was, but it was not MTV.
Suffice to say, finally, about 10:30 on Monday night, which if you're keeping track of time was 4:30 Monday afternoon. Our schedules were all screwed up because of the time change.
Right.
The bags finally arrived, and at that point, that's when things got normal for a couple of days. While we were in France, we had a couple of very nice days. There were only some minor problems, what with driving. My wife, who refuses to read a map, or here's the problem with Frida. Frida took French lessons before we went to France.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to the part of France that we went to, most people speak English.
It's a resort town. It's a vacation area.
So this is the problem. She would want to ask someone how to get somewhere or how to buy something, and she would start with the blah, 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 blah. And then the person would say back in broken English, do you want to know how to get to the town of Grasse? And Frida would say back in broken French, blah, 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 blah. And at one point, I jumped in and I said, honey, how ridiculous is this? He's trying to speak English to you.
You're trying to speak French to him.
Yes, but speak English to him.
Right.
Just so we can find out what the hell we're doing here.
Sure.
But no, she insisted on speaking French to everybody. She absolutely refused to read a map. She refused. The map we had was like a map for Disneyland, you know?
I know what you're talking about. There are maps that are real road maps, and then there are maps that have like the little pictures of the villages on them.
Yeah,
like
there's a cartoon map.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she's saying, look, if we just follow along. I said, honey, this really just looked like we were at an amusement park. I said, just stop, use this French, and ask somebody where we are.
Put away the Frontierland map.
Well, she refused to because there are signs that show you where to go, and Rob was an innocent bystander for much of the ride back from that the night we went out with the pilot and his wife when we couldn't find where we were going. And
it was the town was called Antibes.
It wasn't a British Airways pilot, was it?
Yes, it was.
Oh, whoa!
It was. But we got to tell you something about him, too.
Really?
Yeah.
His beautiful eyes?
No, his story that he told.
Oh, that was good, too.
So, we're back and forth. We can't. There's arguing. Frida's yelling at me. Carrie's yelling at me. They're both.
Carrie was yelling at you?
Yeah, they both were yelling.
She was helping, but very vigorously.
It was Rob and I in the front seat, the wives in the back seat.
Right.
And they're both yelling at me, and here's the thing. The goddamn circles everywhere in France.
That's all they have.
You can't just come.
Roundabouts.
Right.
What it's called.
You can't just
They call them that over there, too. Huh?
Yeah. You can't just come to a corner and turn right or left. Every 10 minutes, there's a goddamn circle. Now, the problem is, I'm driving the car, and I'm trying to figure out where to merge and where not to merge. And as I'm getting into the circle, Carrie would say, take this one right here, to the right. I would veer off to the right. Frida would say, no, 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 take the next one.
Very difficult.
Yeah, so I would go to the
very
left.
Complicated.
I would go to the left. We get to the next one. I'd say, do I turn here? And while I'm waiting for an answer, I've passed it up already.
You've missed it.
Yeah, right. And then they both start yelling at me, going, well, how come you didn't take the turn? I said, wait a minute. Now, at this point, I'm just driving around the circle. We're just driving in circles. I'm saying, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to drive around a circle until you two hens decide
at a comically slow speed
where you want me to go. And then I'm going 10 miles an hour.
Just around the circle?
So yeah. Around the circle, I say, now, here's your first choice.
Right.
I'm going to take that one. Going, going, gone. I get the message. Do you want me to take this one? Going, going, gone. It was a comedy of error.
Yeah, just so slow and
right.
So hard to follow. And the way they do directions over there is, go to this town until you see signs for this town, until you see signs for this town.
So they basically direct you to the signs.
Yeah, and the signs sometimes conflict with each other, and would it kill them to get a pair of scissors and cut the branches back away from the sign? I mean, for crying out loud, I'm only there once a year.
The French as a whole is what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All the people of the town should come out with pruning shears.
Now,
as far as you're concerned.
We did have one great day.
We do it over here.
Right.
We did have one great day. Not that all the days.
Every Saturday, Rob.
And I'll see you at the roadside.
Not that all of the days weren't great, but I think the greatest day we had was, and the most sublime day.
Yes.
Was the day that we were on the beach in the French Riviera.
There you go. Now you're talking.
We are at Lucky Beach. Here's a picture of Lucky Beach, Mike.
That let me see. I didn't see that one before.
Yeah, that's a picture.
Right. There we go.
On more than one occasion, as
Lucky Beach.
As I stared over at Rob's incredibly hairy, matted hair, it looks like he's wearing a sweater back.
Just beautiful.
I would look over to Rob and I would say, "How incredible is this? Do you believe this? That we are actually us two schmucks, mm-hmm. we're on the French Riviera right now."
It was the greatest. They had the umbrellas over us, so, you know, me being a fair skin, I wouldn't burn.
You had your hat. You had your Sam Snead hat.
It was a beautiful hat.
Here we are. Here's the picture of Rob and I in the water together.
That's one of the greatest pictures ever taken.
There it is.
And let me see. Here,
we're happy there. We're genuinely happy.
Rob, you look like a loom.
Thank you.
Now, here
that's the most effective sunscreen you can buy, and I grow it myself.
Mike, here's a picture of me with a Phoebe, one of the British people's kids. I got her on my shoulders.
Right.
And
now, who's next to you there in the water?
That is, that is Sarah, my British neighbor.
Oh, okay.
Ah. And then, in the next picture, here is Bart lifting me on his shoulders. All of this, of course, in the water.
Yeah.
Bart's mouth is open there. Is he doing
No, what he was saying was, take the picture!
Now, I know a lot of you, like myself, being the ugly American, you go to the French Riviera, and you're going to see, I don't think we have a, I'll bring the picture in tomorrow from Frida's camera. These are Robbie's pictures that Carrie took. You think you're going to see some hot, topless girls.
Sure.
On the beach of the French Riviera.
Well, you're half right.
I'm telling you. We saw lots of topless girls, but they were not hot.
No. It looked like they were smuggling BBs.
It was like
bad.
Like, you know those nudie magazines, those like over 65 nudie magazines?
Is it kind of like the grandmother in the back of Playboy?
Yeah.
A little like pancake that. Batter.
And for whatever reason, the hot girls who you would want to see naked.
Right.
They refuse to take anything off.
Yeah, sure.
But the women that you would never want to see naked.
That's the way it always is.
They took everything off, and the hairy armpits and mm-hmm. the hairy legs.
I mean, you and I have had nudists on this show. You know, the people that, like, love the nude lifestyle, they always look like that.
So we had to...
bad cottage cheese.
We did have a very nice day on the French Riviera.
Yes, and
right?
then after...
At Lucky Beach.
Lucky Beach, and then we went to that town on Teebe.
And we had a nice dinner. Oh, and now we had the dinner with... My neighbors, Sarah and Gary, the British people, they were staying over there with another couple, with Suzanne, the travel agent,
right.
and her husband, Calvin, who kind of looks like Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, it's particularly when he talks, because he's British and he's got sort of that way about him.
Right, now he is a pilot. For British Airlines. Am I allowed to say that for British Airways? Did you not want me to say that?
I did. Well, it's been said now. We had no problem with him. I thought he was a very nice guy.
Is the pilot the guy with the gray hair?
Yes. Yeah. Now, as we are sitting at dinner in that table where you can see mine.
Now, is the lady is this lady the lady that met you at the airport?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
And that would be your British neighbor right there.
Yeah, that would be Gary, and next to him is Sarah.
Sarah, and there you are.
There I am, and then Frida should be next to me. And,
that's the whole party except for Frida, Gary, who's taking the picture.
Frida looks absolutely thrilled at this particular moment.
Right that here. Was the end of a very long day.
Yeah, we all look thrilled in this picture.
And it was hard to find a table to eat in the town, and it was a long ride, and there was lovely fountains in the city.
Oh, hold on. Before I tell you the story about the airline pilot. Rob and I were grossed out by this. When you go into these little French cities, these little
villages,
tiny villages, uh-huh. They have these fountains. And a lot of times there are these fabulous sculptures, and it's like Cupid, and Cupid's got water coming out of his penis, okay?
Right.
Or it's a mouth of a Gothic figure, and the water's coming out of the mouth.
Hundreds and hundreds of years old, beautiful fountains just built into the stonework of the building.
That was as we realized we're walking by looking at these things. Some of them have signs on them that actually say, drinking water.
Le potable. Drinking
some,
water.
Okay.
Drinkable water.
Some say not for drinking, but some say these are for drinking. And they already look skanky to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we see these French dudes walk over and they put their hands up in front of Cupid's penis and they get some water and, you know.
Well, that's like the French spring, right?
They do it and they actually would take the water, splash it under their armpits, splash their face with it, and
use the water, the gift of
God.
Water that has been given to the French.
They go on their way. Well, this one particular night at dinner.
Oh, wash the crotch.
This one particular night at dinner, we were sitting right next to one of these giant fountains in a public square that had a big sign that said, for public drinking.
For public drinking, bathing.
Maybe 15, 20 feet across. Big fountain.
Washing off the day's stink.
Gigantic.
Rinsing your feet.
Well, as people are over there drinking out of this thing, and what they're doing is scooping the water up with their hands and drinking it into their mouths.
Oh, right.
How uncivilized that is. While they're doing this, at one point, Rob says to me, hey, turn around and look. And I look, and there's a dog who's trying to climb in the fountain. Now,
the drinking water fountain.
Sure. Now, he wants water, too. It's the gift.
It's like
the animals and the dog, you know.
An old, like, retriever, a big, grungy-looking dog.
And there are dogs everywhere in France. I mean, people take their dogs everywhere, but there's also stray dogs everywhere.
Right.
So,
and they smoke, too.
Rather than try to get the dog away from the public human drinking water.
You know, you get them away, you offer them a smoke.
Frenchie and some of his friends come over, and they actually put the dog in the fountain.
They bathe the dog.
They're bathing the dog.
In the water you're going to drink out of. Ah.
Right. We're dying, and Rob is trying to get a picture of this. Because the dog wants to get out of the fountain, but the Frenchies keep
now, you're, a fa- you're next to a fountain here, right?
That's the fountain.
That is
the fountain.
That is the fountain where there was a dog. A dirty, smelly, rabies-infected dog that was frolicking around in this water. And as the dog is frolicking in the water, people are coming up and putting their hands in and drinking the water.
Using the gift of the water.
And there's another small fountain in another village where people, of course, stopping, wiping themselves down with the water, and then a kid...
Not wiping themselves with the water.
Just wiping water on themselves.
Okay, very good.
And then a little kid runs up, barefoot, starts throwing sticks in it. Just playing with sticks, throwing sticks in the drinking water.
Right. The picture I'm getting here, it's very important that when you're going to go drink the water, that you take the water to drink that's coming out of Cupid's penis.
You do not
reach into the water.
You have no assurance that the water that's coming out of penis is out of Cupid's penis.
Might have been the water that's
recycled water.
And there's no filter. This is an 800-year-old fountain.
Right. Exactly.
Horrible.
It is the gift of water.
It is the gift of the gods.
So after we see the dog in there, the next one we see, Rob says, hey, look at that kid. And this kid's got a stick. And this kid is like playing with this stick in the mud, in the dirt.
Right.
And then he's taking the stick and just holding it under the water, and he's rubbing the stick all up and down the fountain, then putting the stick back in the mud.
And you don't know if the water is like going off to a different spot. Or whether it's just like recirculating back into Cupid's,
penis. That's what I got to think.
His urinary tract.
That's what I've got to think.
I got a break? Okay, I got a break. Okay.
Oh, yes, we got a break. Okay. So, I think I'm up to, I'm almost up to the train ride now.
Okay. Now, you said that you had a couple of good days.
And you've just heard them.
You mean it wasn't all good after the horrible travel experience?
You just heard
the best parts. We had a wonderful day on the French Riviera. I had a lot of nice time with my wife, but it was like something my wife liked, you know. Where I mean, she would drive me up.
And I look at this picture eating outside, you know, by the fountain in the town square would be. It'd be cool, right? I mean, it's a nice way to eat.
Yeah.
We had, like, every meal like that, though. So it was, you know, that's just how they do it over there.
Well, it was a 15-hour day, and, you know, and then, and frankly, you know,
and
I like...
following many trips to the olive oil stores.
Mm-hmm. You know, our wives, they would take us to these goddamn big castles, these towns that look like castles, and every single store you got to stop in. And listen, once you've been to one olive oil store, yeah, wouldn't you think you've shot your wad?
I would think so.
You would have bought all of the olive oil you needed.
Any vinegars or anything like that?
No, just olive
oil. Just olive oil.
No wine or anything like that?
No, just olive oil.
Olive oil.
One village can support like four or five olive oil stores. Who would think that you would need more than one?
Well, they do a lot of cooking over there.
But our wives, God bless them, they found these goddamn olive oil stores, mm-hmm, and every time they go, oh, no, one more olive oil store.
Right.
One more. I mean, at least in a mall, you can sit down in a mall. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere to sit in a castle.
You lean against the castle.
Imagine what it would be if olive oil was coming out of Cupid's penis.
You mean the lady from the comics? I'd like to see that.
And here's a picture of Rob and I. This is how Rob and I spent a lot of our time together.
Just relaxing outside while the ladies would be inside.
Leaning
on a windowsill while our wives are in yet another castle-like olive oil shop.
That is a great American tradition. I think everywhere, yeah, anywhere, it doesn't have to be France, you see guys sitting, waiting for women to shop.
All right, now when we come back, here's what we're going to do. I'll wrap this thing up. I want to remind me, Rob, I want to talk about the story that the pilot told us about when the guy got sucked into the engine on his airplane.
Oh, my God.
Ooh. Also, want to talk about the French fascination with black people.
Really?
Hmm. Well, and it's not a good fascination.
No. It's a little weird.
It's a little creepy.
Right.
Frankly, it's a little nutty.
Mm-hmm.
Even Rob thought it was a little nutty.
Wow. Well, you know you're saying something there.
And then you're going to get to hear Rob and I actually attempting to interview French people on the street.
The French.
And yes, we did ask them all of the pertinent questions about WW2.
Yes, why'd you lay down?
Yes.
Sure.
Now, and frankly, we're going to need some help because we have no idea in many cases what the people are saying to us.
So they could be smiling and nodding their heads while they're saying, you American buffoon.
Right. As I did when I was buying Rob a pair of stockings and a lingerie.
Chocolate bars.
No, we were in a lingerie shop and I was buying Rob a pair of stockings.
Of course.
Because we had read in the English to French dictionary, Rob told the girl that we were lovers. And then once we realized that this broad spoke no English,
right?
I was just talking about her right to her face and said, well, just look at this. Is this on the tape?
Yeah.
I said, this is one grade A piece of ass. She had not an idea what we were talking about.
Wonderful.
All right, Ed, so we'll talk about the fascination with the blacks.
Right.
Also, the story about the airplane, the tapes. Oh, and we'll hear the DJs in France.
The radio nostalgia.
And I must tell you about, if you thought my plane ride was bad, you must hear about my train ride.
Jesus.
Okay? So stay right there.
Wow.
I normally don't take this much time with a vacation, but I got a lot of stuff to handle.
You normally don't sit on a plane for 9 hours.
We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, you know, I heard you were having a party, and you're trying to get me to go, but I'm not going to go if there's no f***ing ZD, because, you know, it's just not going to happen. Thank you very much.
There he is. That poor kid.
Oh, I'm dry here, Rob.
Hold
on, I got a dry hole. Here we go.
Just an alcohol swab and a quick pen light inspection, and it begins. The Don and Mike Show.
I'm here for you, AJ.
Life imitates art.
You You need some counseling, AJ. I went through it about 35 years after you did, but
I think you can blame Rob for him. You know, when we sent Rob up to New York 2 years in a row to talk to this kid, and, you know, Rob got him to talk dirty and stuff like that. You know, that's a bad influence.
Those are the stars.
All right, well, there's
bad influence.
AJ from the Sopranos.
Sopranos, yes, sirree.
Getting in a little trouble with the law.
We wish him all the best in this time of trouble. You know, I got my picture taken with him at the last time I was up there.
Oh, that's more of a collectible.
When I got it back, my father said, look, he's flipping off the camera. So I think he's a troublesome kid no matter what.
Well, you know, it's probably for a kid that age to be on a show like that, it's probably going to mess with his head a little bit.
I never saw him drinking at those parties.
Sopranos, they're in the mafia.
Seriously, did you see him doing that?
Hey, you shouldn't drink till you're 21, Robert.
Okay.
Not until you have an ID.
The show's a hit, so why supervise the lad?
That's true. Let him have a lot of fun. All right, now, France, I'm almost done with this.
Now, you, where did we leave off?
Okay, I'm going to first tell you about Calvin. He is the British Airways pilot who is married to Suzanne, the real estate lady who hooked us up with the house we stayed at.
These are people that did an awful lot for you and took care of you over there.
They're very nice. They're very good friends of my British neighbors, who were the enablers, who were also over there at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy, Calvin, who looks and sounds like Anthony Hopkins, he sits us down this one night at dinner with the picture I was showing you.
Right.
And he says, do you want to hear a story? A story about me flying? I said, yeah. And he says, it's a true story. I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version of this because it took him about an hour to tell the story.
This guy flies big planes and
yes,
stuff
like that? Yes, he flies from Los Angeles to London.
Oh, so he flies the super dupers, like the 747s.
Wow. Right. He says that one night he's, where was he in them? Barcelona or somewhere?
No, more backward than that.
Third
world type thing.
Right, he's in the middle of nowhere, and he's getting ready to take off, and they come out and they announce on the radio, hey, you can't take off because a crazed gunman has stolen one of our little security scooters, and he's driving around the airport in a security scooter. I mean, he's driving around out by where the airplanes are.
Right.
So they tell him not to taxi, not to take off, not to do anything.
Okay.
So he's sitting and he's telling the people on the airplane, he's not telling them the truth that there's a madman out there.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that there's a flight stack up and that you're going to have to wait a couple
right.
of seconds. Well, to make a very, very, very long story short.
Right.
Let me.
But it was entertaining when he told it, right?
Good story.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Reasonably.
Right. To make a very long story much shorter, in essence what happened is the guy ends up getting sucked into the engine of the airplane that this guy Calvin is sitting on the tarmac.
Wow.
With the engine going, and the guy drives up in his little scooter and actually gets sucked up into the engine.
Oh, my God. Hamburger.
The next day, now, Rob, you're going to have to help me with the next day, because the next day is when the local authorities were there trying to scrape him out of the engines of the plane.
He said the only identifiable body part was his manhood.
Oh, my God.
And it had been stretched because of the air pressure, so it was very long and sort of sprayed against the inside of the engine.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
How's that tuna taste, folks?
Boy, that's a good dinner time story.
It was a good story. He was very nice, and I think he told us not to mention his name, but TFB. Besides, he didn't do anything wrong. He was just the guy who was there.
Right, exactly.
And at the time that this happened. So, Rob and Carrie, at this point in the vacation, Rob and Carrie are off to Paris. Mm-hmm. They're going to spend a couple of days in Paris before they come back home.
Right.
And Frida has had the bright idea that what we're going to do is go to Switzerland for a day before we come back.
It's kind of a long haul.
Yeah, well, if we had gone by aeroplane,
mm-hmm.
it would have been a very easy short flight.
Well,
maybe. But
yeah.
my wife booked us on a train because she loves trains like you do.
I love trains.
And
she loves train travel, especially after this vacation.
She said to me, you're going to love this because you're going to get on this train. You're going to sit down, you're going to be surrounded by luxury, and before you know it, you're going to go to sleep, and you're going to wake up, and you're going to be in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, great, I'm ready, let's try it. So we negotiate our way down to the train station, and as it turns out, it is not the Silver Streak. Okay, the train that we're on, it's more like something out of the Wild Wild West.
Something you might see in the movie Gandhi.
The train that we're on is smelly and not air-conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
And dirty.
Continuing on that non-air-conditioned theme.
And very cramped. But we are in what is, in essence, the nicest part of the train.
Right.
So we sit down, the three of us, Frieda, Bart, and I, and there's some old French broad that's sitting in the fourth seat there. And she's rubbing her feet, of course. And the train takes off from the station, and the train ride is supposed to be 5 hours
mm-hmm.
and 15 minutes. It is supposed to be, you get on, you get off, you're there.
Is it one of those super fast trains?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not one of the bullet trains, but mm-hmm. the way it's been explained to me, it's you go to Italy,
yeah.
you make a stop in Italy, and then before you know it, you're in Switzerland, boom, you're going to love it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Make a guess on how long we were on the train for.
I'll double it, 10 hours.
I'd say make another
guess. Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus. Make another guess.
13 hours.
Make another guess.
24 hours?
No. 16 hours.
Oh, my God.
On a five-hour train trip.
16 hours on a five-hour train trip. And here's why.
That's, I mean, did she have it right, the time? Was it supposed to be 5 hours?
No, she had it right. The problem is that as we stopped in Italy, they boarded the train. The Italians boarded the train, and apparently one time out of, I don't know, however many times that they do this, they decide that they are individually going to look at every person's papers and every person's passport. And we sat for roughly 6 hours.
Oh.
We...
Oh, my God.
We were not allowed to get off the train.
Incredible.
We had to wait while... Guido, in this case, I'm going to change the name now from Frenchie to Guido. While Rocky Balboa,
right,
very slowly and very stupidly went up and down the aisle. And, well, for instance, here's the exercise he did with me. Passport. Well, passport, give him the passport. He opens it up, looks at me, looks at the picture, looks back at me, looks at my picture. And takes about 3 steps back. Holds it up again. Looks at me.
Wow.
Holds it up.
Were they checking for, like, fugitives or something?
I don't know. Looks at me. Comes back. Closes it. And says, what is your birthday? So I tell him my birthday. He opens it up. Checks it out. And then for whatever reason... takes 3 steps back and looks at it again like the birthday's going to change.
That's right.
For taking 3 steps back.
Oh, my God.
So it ends up being, you know, we're on this train.
6 hours in Italy?
6 hours. And by the time we leave and we get going, I'm so pissed that I'm not even sitting with Frieda anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, what I've done is I've moved to a seat across the aisle.
God.
Because I'm so mad. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying out loud... I'm doing this.
You've effectively spent an entire day waiting.
Yes.
On your vacation.
Oh, well, more than that.
More than that.
What I'm doing is I got these two fingers on the bridge of my nose, like where your glasses go. And I'm just sitting there with my head, my face in my chest, and I'm just saying aloud, another wasted day. Another wasted day. Wasted day. Wasted day.
Having a meltdown.
Wasted day. And I look up. And she's looking right at me. and I go, what? And she goes, nothing. And I go, what? And she goes, nothing. And I go, I was singing. She goes, you were not singing. And I said, yes, I was.
Chanting.
I said, I was singing.
You were meditating.
Wasted days and wasted nights.
Did that get a laugh?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
They got absolutely no laughs. None. So it was 16 hours getting to...
How was Switzerland?
Just like France. But they're just like going to Disney World. It's the same thing.
Oh, my God.
Now, the last thing I have before I play the tapes for you, my last observation about France.
Yes.
Now, I can only say this about France. I can't say this about the other countries I went to, England or Italy.
Or Switzerland.
I can only say this about France.
Right.
They got a thing with blacks.
Black people?
They do.
Really?
When Rob and I went shopping in these various villages with our wives,
uh-huh.
we were amazed at the number of black statues that they had. Now, I'm not talking about, like, African statues, pieces of art. I'm talking about stuff that you would see.
Stuff that you might consider very controversial in this
country. Oh, my God, yeah.
It's really been, basically been, you outlawed.
You would see, like, at a KKK rally.
Really?
Oh. I mean,
I know we were in the south of France, but this is stuff that's, like, you would see in the deep south here, like, 40 years ago.
Just weird stuff.
Like little kids holding pumpkins.
Right.
And just very weird. Just, like, waiters really demeaning artwork, or
and
not even artwork.
And it's all over the place?
Everywhere you turn.
Everywhere. Wow. And the statues, they went from being this size, very tiny, like 2 inches, to being 6 feet tall, where you could get a giant statue of a slave, of a black, there's no other way to describe it.
And it's just tattered, like it's dead. The one we saw, the big one we saw, was like standing outside of a shop like a cigar store Indian would be at a tobacconist.
You know, you never hear about this.
No, it was never. Really, it caught us by surprise.
Now, I did take some pictures of these, and I will bring in my pictures tomorrow.
Okay,
many
all right.
Black statues, they have children, and they're all demeaning.
Right.
You know, it's like,
You don't think of the French as doing this.
No.
I mean, the French take a bad rap for a lot of stuff, but they don't, racist lawn statues are not part of the deal.
One store we were in, I said to Rob, oh my God, they're never going to believe this. I got to take a picture of this to bring it back home. Or maybe you were taking the picture.
Right.
One of us, as we're taking the picture, the lady comes over and goes, no. No pictures.
Yeah.
No pictures.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah, wouldn't let us.
Why do you think that was? Do you think she was embarrassed?
Maybe they know that there's some. I mean, it's kind of easy to spot us as Americans.
Right.
And maybe she just felt.
Don showed me the pastry.
Rob did take one picture in a bakery.
Right.
Patisserie. A boulangerie.
Now, there's French rolls. There's French bread, there's croissants, there's some kind of pastries.
They look like there's ones that look like pigs there, they're pink.
Yes, there's pink things like pigs. And then over here in the corner, you have, and we took a picture of this to document this. We went in the bakery and took a picture of this. There are four big, fat, black women with big red lips and eyes that are bugging out.
I mean, that really would be a source of controversy.
Yeah, like,
if you saw that in a bakery in the United States.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't see that.
You walk in the store and you look at this and you go, oh my freaking God.
And of course, you don't speak the language, so you don't get a sense of
right
what the people are saying over
well,
there.
Well, like, what are they possibly?
It just seems weird. It's kind of weird.
They are absolutely, they are jet black. It's chocolate. Obviously, and they're shaped like well,
I mean, Buzz, take a look at that. You don't
look at the picture.
It's not much
of
the imagination. Yeah, it's the old stereotype, the old Southern American stereotype. Exactly. And all over France.
Yes.
Who would have thunk it?
This is 2001, and this is a pastry shop.
Very weird.
This is a bakery, so I said to Rob, because we'd already seen all the statues, and we'd taken pictures and stuff.
Right.
I said, oh, my God. Get your camera.
That's incredible.
So we went into the pastry store, and we pretended like we were going to buy something.
Now, when you took your camera out, did the lady have an idea that you were maybe taking a picture of those particular pastries?
What we did is, I bought, like, a croissant and pain au chocolat and all this stuff, and then Don went up, and I think he bought, like, a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
And so she was absolutely distracted.
Right.
I just snapped one picture.
Do not take...
No!
Do not take a picture of our stereotypical...
So it's not just old statues still standing around.
No.
Every day they're baking fresh stereotypes of black people. Amazing.
They are. And then we were looking at one store where they had all these postcards and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a postcard like of a dog on their French Riviera. You can get a postcard of a French chef making pastry. And then you have the most racist pictures of blacks you've ever seen, like circa 1920, where you
that's amazing,
like Dust Bowl stuff.
Yeah,
I never thought of France as being that type of country.
And the only thing that really makes me wonder is the lady that immediately made us shut our camera off when we tried to take a picture.
That they know that they're taking a rap. What did your British friends say about it? Are the French known for this?
They weren't with us.
Oh, they weren't with you, because I'd be curious to see people that travel in France on a regular basis.
They were at the rally, so
really.
But these pastries, I mean,
that's weird.
This is without a doubt the most offensive thing I've ever seen.
That's amazing. It really is.
I can't.
And all over the place.
Yeah,
not
everywhere.
Not just in the pastry shop.
No, every gift shop.
See, I think that it speaks volumes of the lady who made you said no pictures. Uh-huh. I think I'd be very, very hip about that.
You should. What was the product, Rob?
Banania. Or Banania.
Right.
Banania apparently is a product that includes bananas.
The best thing I could figure out with my broken French is it's like an oatmeal or a cream of wheat that has bananas in it.
Right.
Again, like a... Think of the worst possible black stereotype that you could draw up in your mind.
Sure.
Circa 19, I mean, like Abraham Lincoln time. Okay?
I've never, ever heard of that.
And it's a picture of a black dude like that on the
cover of the
on the box.
Product.
Amazing. Yeah, on the box with a big smile, and he's holding out his hand, and he has a bowl of the cereal.
So those French, huh?
Yeah,
behind the time.
Yeah.
And the banana stuff, you thought we saw it everywhere where we were. When I got to Paris... They have the booksellers and the stalls that line the river.
Right.
Banania this, banania that. And also old, like, Harlem-flavored posters, like, for jazz concerts and
right.
stuff. And just a whole bunch of stuff that really made me wonder about the
you
culture.
Know, they don't... I'm trying to think of my French history.
The pastries, though.
I mean, weren't the French... You helped me on this. Weren't the French the people that embraced all the
oh, yeah.
The African-American jazz musicians that went over there?
Absolutely. In the
I mean, they loved jazz and stuff like that. Maybe.
And also, I think they embraced the liberation, like, in the 1860s. I
yeah.
think slaves would...
Well,
escape to
I
go
really,
to
I really, I think that's their history.
Something's changed.
Something's weird, or maybe they just don't think it's a big deal
Nothing's
over there.
Really moved past 1934.
And for a while, they embraced Hitler.
Hey, honey.
Yeah, that's true.
Hello, boo-boo.
Hey, sweetie, listen, you know, and you notice in this picture of the pastries that nothing's missing except there have already been two of the obsessive black pastries that have been purchased.
They seem to be popular, right?
Honey, what'd you say? I'm showing the boys this picture of those offensive black pastries.
Yeah?
What's your take on that?
Well, I hadn't really had a philosophical discussion with you guys about this, so this is just going off the top of my head. But I don't think that what Mike just said is right, that the French have been very open-minded about the races, black and white.
Oh, really? Open a shop in downtown D.C. and try selling
what
these
I'm
things.
What I'm trying to tell you is it's not offensive because there isn't a history of discrimination there like we have here.
Yeah, that might be plausible. That might be right.
If you had a pastry here and it had a goofy-looking white guy on it, nobody would care because there hasn't been a history of discrimination against goofy-looking white guys.
Maybe.
I mean, you never know. I mean, you really, you'd have to really know.
I didn't see a bunch of brothers running into this restaurant going, hey, that's funny.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's why people will say, well, gee, well, why can you make fun of somebody who's white or whatever? You know, you'll hear people, ignorant people say that. Why can we make fun of a white guy being a doof? Well, that's because they haven't had a history of being put down. And in France, I don't think it's been as bad discrimination.
These are the most racist cookies or pastries. These are the most racist pastries I have ever seen in my life.
I think Frieda might be right about that. That maybe over there, it's just because of that, it's just not a big deal. Whereas if you showed that in a bakery in the States,
if you're a brother or sister, don't go to France because you are going to get royally pissed off when you go over there.
No, not unless you come over, not unless you think that their attitude has been like our attitude historically, when it hasn't been. I mean...
Honey, listen, offensive is offensive.
I mean, why? Just because...
Look at these things, Mike. Look at them. There's no way.
I'm going to call in...
Bring Colette or someone in.
All right.
I want to ask someone who works here who's black if they find these pastries offensive.
And I wonder why they make pastries of stereotypical black people when they don't make images of dorky white guys or Indians or anybody else. You know, it's interesting. I mean, I've never been aware of that.
And
I do know the history, which what I thought. You know, it's weird. This is weird stuff.
Now, for example,
Hold on, honey. Miss Terry's here.
All right.
Terry, now you tell me something, honestly.
Uh-huh.
You look at this. This is a picture that Rob and I took of a bakery in France.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the stuff all the way on the left. Do you find that offensive?
Right. In a funny way, apparently.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, now, right. If you went into a store, what would you think? If you went to the store and you saw that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If that's in a bakery in the United States, I mean, I think that you're not going to see that.
The place gets torched.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, see?
That's right out of a French bakery.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I would be offended.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah, thank you, I thought so.
But, you know, and Frieda might be right. I mean, maybe it's a different perspective over there and, you know, compared to the way Americans look at something. But
I got to think even a brother or sister in France is going to go in there and...
You'd have to talk to somebody that's over there that knows, you know, the attic and knows what the attitudes are.
You know, we would have asked, that would have been one of our questions. Why do you enjoy racist pastry?
Well, you were too busy, you're saying, why did you lay down for Adolf Hitler?
We did.
That's true.
Yeah, that's wild, isn't that, Terry?
That is wild.
Okay, amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And isn't it, see this picture, there's two missing? Rob bought them.
Here we go.
Rob bought them. Thank you, Terry.
Oh, my God. Weird stuff.
Yeah. Offensive.
A little interesting corner of France.
I think it's like when that movie Notting Hill came out, and Welsh people were offended because the guy who was the roommate of, what's his name?
Hugh Grant.
Huh?
Hugh Grant?
Yeah. His roommate was Welsh, and they made him smelly and idiotic and that kind of thing.
Honey, come on. That's not... This is offensive.
Okay, well,
these
here's another one.
Offensive.
When we were driving around in France, we were talking about how offensive the cartoon character Pepe Le Pew should have been.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you would never see that.
That's all based in reality.
Yeah.
You would never see that with a person of color or...
You know what's funny? It's amazing. When you mention Pepe Le Pew... I'm thinking for the purposes of this discussion that I never made that connection with Pepe Le Pew until you start talking.
He's a stunt.
Of course. But see, it didn't even occur to us because French people aren't usually discriminated against. So it didn't even occur.
All right. Well, thank you for your insight.
All right. I'm glad it could help to illuminate.
All right, love you.
I love you.
Au revoir.
My worldly man.
I would not be surprised.
Bonjour.
I would not be surprised if somebody that lived and spent any time in France would say, hey, it's just not even, I mean, it's probably, you know, that might very well be true.
I'm going to
give down their history.
Yeah,
I'm going to give this to Lisa and have her put that up on that dopey Don and Mike fans website also.
I mean, I'm offended by...
You can see the offensive pastry yourself.
I am offended by them, and anybody, any American, you know, with half a brain would be offended by them, but I'll tell you right now, that over there, I would say it's a plausible situation that maybe it's not looked at the same way.
Just another reason to hate the French, Mike.
I agree.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yes, you won't get any argument there. I'll join your hatred, George.
Thank you, bastard.
Absolutely.
Okay, time out. We got a break. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
If you had total control over what showed up in the movies,
just mop it up with a T-shirt. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, hold on. I have the wrong tape going there for a second. Before we get to the tapes of Rob and I actually talking to French people,
sharing the wisdom that is the American way.
And we tried. We tried. Now, you know, I'll tell you that it's very tough. In theory, it's easy to say you're going to walk up to someone on the street in France and say, why did you bend over for Hitler?
It's extremely difficult. And you can't really go all the way with it.
Well, I did.
You did.
I did.
Well, the language barrier might have helped you then.
but first, we want to play just a very brief tape of what we decided was our favorite radio station in France.
Very good.
It was Radio Nostalgie. Which is oldies radio, right?
And you know what? I found on one of the kiosks in Paris, they were sponsoring a concert tour. And it was so funny because they have the kiosk all throughout Paris. And it says whatever in French, brought to you by Radio 94.5, Nostalgie.
So it's basically a network of...
I believe it's a national oldies station.
Okay. And we think the format is they play a song in American... English, as some of you would say. Then they play a song in French.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's another American song, then a French song.
Oh, cool. All right.
And out of all of the radio stations, this was the one we thought was the goofiest. Is it Real One?
Real One.
Real number one. Here we go.
Bien que Brève marqua le monde du rock'n'roll et se termina dans un tragique accident d'avion dans lequel se trouvait également Richie Valens, l'interprète de la Bamba en 1959. Son plus grand tube, Peggy Sue.
What the hell is he saying?
I
heard La Bamba and Peggy Sue.
He talks about a tragic airplane crash, so I think he's talking about Buddy Holly and Richie Valens in the Day the Music.
Sure is, their jingle?
Yeah.
Most
Hello. It's a good day to go buy some tasteless black pastries.
Sounds like a French song.
Hey, it's a good day to go buy a big black statue and put it in front of your house, eh?
Danser en ce temps-là, pas besoin de pédale.
All right,
this is crap. C'est pas la bossa nova, mais formule bien déjà.
How much time Rob and I had on our hands. Actually sat around and taped this goddamn station for an hour.
It's a good recording. I picture you two just sitting in front of the radio.
We were. Hello. My name is Cousin Brucey. Bonjour. I have some nice black pastries right now. For the seventh caller on my phone line. What do you say, huh?
What do you say? No.
Nice.
They do any contests?
No.
Didn't call in? They didn't do tradio?
Hey.
Oh, now it's just the French version?
It sure is, Mike. I want to dedicate this one to everybody working at the black pastry shop today. Hello.
Hello.
Oh,
right.
Oh, no.
Right, this is where they broke format and played two American records in a row.
Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, it was Flush the Format Friday.
Oh, very good.
As a matter of fact, he's the guy who was on all the posters we saw.
You know, it's fascinating.
And on all the statues.
Interesting little connection there.
Louis Armstrong sur Nostalgie avec Hello Dolly.
That's the French Cousin Brucey.
Le prochain week-end sera consacré pour vous au départ en vacances ou bien tranquillement au repos à la maison. Eh bien, nous, on va faire la fête. On va vous proposer un week-end spécial. Faites la fête sur Nostalgie.
Blablabla.
On est fait samedi et dimanche prochain à raison de trois titres très festifs par heure.
And here is a pretty language.
Il y a des paillettes que l'on peut vous garantir avec plein.
Who knows what they have this guy's
So you made no attempt to learn French?
No. No, why should I?
Well, you had all that time to kill.
Juste après ça.
The only thing I learned was when you go into a store, you say bonjour,
right.
Otherwise they are offended.
Yes, I told you that.
Did you?
I did. I told you that before you left on your trip.
You told me that?
I saw it on TV.
Oh, well, okay. Kudos to you.
Oh, merci.
What, Robbie, what?
That's the stager they play going in every commercial break.
Do-do-do.
Budget vacances, précipitez-vous chez U sur la boîte de 6 cornets glacés, 125 millilitres Royal Cornetto, dont un gratuit à 17...
How maddening this is to get on the radio, just hear this coming out. You get in your car, turn the radio on.
Piston.
This is all you hear?
Something's cracking him up.
It's a commercial.
Maintenant en vidéo, le héros, c'est Rocky.
Merci, mesdames et messieurs, merci, public adoré.
L'héroïne, c'est Ginger.
Ah, c'est French.
Plus de 3 millions de spectateurs.
Hey, you know what? I haven't asked you guys.
What?
Seriously, how was the food over there? I mean, it was great.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Oh. Pretty good.
He cracked
me up.
Especially, it's all right. I couldn't find a good meal in Paris.
Really?
Paris was awful. But okay. In the south of France, there was so much great fresh seafood and everything like that. Because it was, you know, like 5 miles.
Hold on. How could I forget to tell you this?
Oh.
You asked how good the food was. We were at Cannes one day.
Yeah, we were at the film festival.
Oh, I'm glad, yeah.
The Cannes Film Festival. And I had eaten something that had not agreed with me. And I said to Frida and Barn and to Sarah, who we were there with, the enabler, I said, wow, I am really going to be sick. And they said, well, go to the bathroom. And I went to the back of this little restaurant. I said, you have, a bathroom. And he said, no bathroom. No. A McDonald's. So I go to the McDonald's, which is across the street, and I follow the signs to the toilet, and I get up there, and they have a code. They have to friggin' buy something in McDonald's to use the bathroom.
Well, you have to buy French fries.
So I go downstairs, and I wait in line, and I wait in line, and I get up to the front of the line, and I say to the girl, hi, I have to go to the bathroom. And she says, you have to buy something. And I said, but I'm going to be, and as I said that,
Oh.
You threw up in a French McDonald's?
Yes, I did.
How could you have forgotten to tell us that?
And then
you really, like, splattered?
Just a little bit came out, and it all came out when I was in front of the McDonald's.
Oh, wow. Did you witness the...
No, we weren't with him then, but I do have a food story, too, that reminded me of. Could have joined him, because one night when we were out with Sarah and Gary, he mentioned, you know, be careful if you order what they call steak frites, steak with fries, though a lot of times we'll sell you horse.
Oh.
And I laughed about it.
Really?
And we went to a lovely cafe Carrie and I did outside of the Palace of Versailles and ordered steak frites, and they brought us a steak that was, we were so certain that it was horse, we didn't ask. Because we didn't want to hear it. It was shaped like no other cut of beef you've ever seen. Uh-huh. Your teeth bounced out when you bit into it. And for some reason, it was tapered at the edge.
Oh.
So it was, and it tasted not of beef.
Horse meat. So did people scatter
surprisingly,
blew chunks?
No. When I was standing in line, when I finally got to the front of the line, the girl said, you got to buy something. I said, well, I'm going to be... And like just a little bile came out. And I said, excuse me. And I walked out to the front, and I swear to God, as I'm looking at the thing where they show the movies for the Cannes Film Festival,
right,
and all the beautiful people, I just stood there and couldn't control. I used to and I mean, it was three big...
Oh, really? Projectile.
Three big, gigantic heaves, and God love the French... No one paid me a second's note.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. That's well. You probably don't want anybody coming over.
Oh, there's a man who is puking on the street. Oh,
may I help you?
It's a beautiful day.
Look at him, an American. He does not have the decency to go on a toilet.
And then after I was done...
Puking his insides all over the sidewalk.
I was done puking. I went in back into McDonald's and bought a Coca-Cola Light, which is what they call Diet Coke.
Right.
And went upstairs and had some... Fabulous diarrhea.
Simply marvelous.
Marvelous diarrhea. I went, and then I worked my way back to the restaurant where my wife and my son and our friend were, and I guess I'm white as a ghost, and
right.
I sat down and said, how'd it go? I said, great. I had diarrhea in the McDonald's, and I puked in front of the McDonald's.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Oui.
Comptez.
Il y a un canisse sous les canisses pour rencontrer le casanisme. Canisse est encore ce qu'il est né, le casanisme.
I like this, it's catchy.
C'est pas casanier, casanisme, pas casanier. Pour découvrir...
It's a goofy little radio station.
De l'eau.
This is just the commercial.
Happy and peppy.
I'm happy.
I'm peppy.
No,
let's wait till they get back to the music.
Think how marvelous it would be if you knew the language. You know, we could all enjoy these. I thought I heard sunshine again.
Yeah.
Little English mixed in.
Yeah, we have a theory that what they did a lot of times is just buy jingle packages that already existed. Because there was it Kiss FM?
Oh, yeah, there was one. And now, it's a total French radio station.
Right.
But they would play a jingle that said, continuous hit music, Kiss FM.
No French at all.
No. None for you, Angie.
Angie. Angie. We never do.
Nostalgie.
This is Radio Nostalgie. We have seen a crime committed. If you see the man who is puking outside of the McDonald's, please report him. He also is known to have had diarrhea in the restroom upstairs.
Nostalgie vous offre la légende de Jacques.
Hey, Nostalgie.
Hello. Listen to this song.
Rob wrote this.
Madame, all I can guess is this is some French novelty hit. I left it like 3 minutes on
it. Back it up. This is your song. This is Rob. This is you with your hat on. I picture you walking along in Paris.
This one, Rob taped the whole song.
Right. Yeah, this is Rob's song. Here he comes.
Nostalgie vous offre la légende de Jacques Brel.
This is Rob.
Hello, Rob.
Madame, promène son cul sur les remparts.
Look at the people doffing his cap.
Bonjour, hello, eh oui. Madame, promène son ombre sur les grands places de l'Italie.
Hold on, we got someone on the phone who speaks French.
Hello, who's this, Tonya?
Oui.
This is Tanya, yes.
You speak French, honey?
Yes, I do.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Can you tell us, what this dude is singing? Listen to this.
Oh, madame vie, sa vie. Madame promène à l'aube l'épreuve de ses insomnies. Madame promène à cheval ses états d'âme et ses rubis.
What's he singing?
About the lady,
thank
pretty
you.
Pretty much doing a stroll in the streets, riding a horse in the streets, looking down to the people.
Mm-hmm. Wait, is it considered bad etiquette?
No, not at all.
I didn't ask the question yet.
Is what considered bad etiquette?
To vomit on the street?
Oh, to vomit. No, I think.
As long as you say bonjour right before you.
Are you French?
I'm Swiss, but from the French part.
Oh, hey, what's the deal with the racist pastries?
I never really... I don't know.
What about all the statues of blacks?
They're not.
Pardon me?
Which ones? In Paris?
In Nice, everywhere.
Well...
In every store you go into. Like real racist statues.
I don't know.
Okay.
All
right, thank you.
That was
an expert. About as helpful as... Much help as we got in WW2.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, you're on in Indianapolis market?
Indianapolis?
Yeah.
Don't know. Used to be, might be. Don't know.
Could be.
Bye bye. Bye bye.
The wait.
Hey.
Gone.
Hey.
Where'd it go? Don't know. We're just listening to the Rob Strolling song.
All right, I've heard enough of this. That's radio nostalgia.
Wow.
All right, now I'll leave you the last part of my vacation. This is Rob and I. Actually, now, Buzz, you're going to like the town that we were in.
Yes.
The town is called Grass.
Really?
Grass.
There is such a place.
G-R-E-G-R-A-S-S-E.
Mm-hmm.
Grass.
Grassy.
And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised to know that, Buzz, you worked your way into every single conversation.
Oh, that's great.
Very good.
So let's roll this now. Here we go.
Which is the best side of the street to drive on?
I prefer the left side. A woman just screamed at us and said, "You are driving on the wrong side of the road."
It was not a two-lane one-way. It was a two-way street.
I am sorry, Rob.
It's all right. We are well, and we are in
grass. We are in Buzz's town. Grass. Weed.
I thought his town was nice. Because I'm neat.
That's when you two are in the hot tub together, or what?
Right now, we're walking on the streets.
Naked.
We're walking on the streets. We're trying to find a French person.
Why is it the bus station has been abandoned, and why is there no McDonald's?
Oh, all right. Now, I got to explain this, too. We go to the town Grass.
Right.
Right? Grass. And the first place we want to go to interview people is a bus station.
Okay.
We go to the bus station.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody there. I mean, there are buses there,
mm-hmm.
and there are people waiting for the buses, but like where you go to buy your tokens and stuff, there's nobody there.
Nobody's loitering around.
And then we keep seeing signs for a McDonald's, so we think that'd be the perfect place to interview people, McDonald's.
Sure.
But we keep walking in circles because every time we see a sign that says McDonald's to the right.
Are there many McDonald's over there? I mean, are they well, because I know the French are kind of... discriminatory when it comes to...
No, there's lots of McDonald's.
Really? Okay.
And lots of KFCs also over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even more so when you get to Paris. I mean, they're really... there's a couple everywhere, though.
Oh. Lots of subways.
Bonjour.
Why is it the bus station has been abandoned? And why is there no McDonald's?
We saw the sign for McDonald's, but it led us to a downstairs that led us to a dark alley.
My thought is it's a trap to corral all the Americans.
All right, well, where's the part? Oh, here we go.
There's the nice lady.
Now you're...
Mandy, are we going to... Have we found French people yet?
Now we finally find... Is this the woman with the bad teeth?
Which one? But okay. This is the one you're thinking of.
Yeah. Here we go. How about if we see if we talk to this babe right here?
All right.
Bonjour, madame. Nous voudrions poser des questions pour la radio américaine, s'il vous plaît.
Way to go, Rob.
Oui, bonjour. How are you dealing with the death of Jack Lemmon?
Moi, je parle français, hein. Je parle pas avec, hein.
World War II.
Quite possibly.
Why did you guys bend over for Hitler?
Je sais rien du tout.
Do you
See, now we're going to need someone to help us translate here.
Two brave souls.
And this lady.
From a, like, 115-year-old woman.
She might be a bag lady because yeah. She asked us for money when we were.
Who are we going to find? Let's find the oldest woman.
She looks like the kitchen
witch.
She
was the first woman we could find.
Mm-hmm. You could go to the local nursing home to find.
How about if we see if we talk to this babe right here?
All right.
Babe.
Bonjour, madame. Nous voudrions poser des questions.
Now, Rob's good at this. Ask if they want to be on the radio in America.
Now, who did you get after this? A toddler?
No, we do have a young guy next.
I'm dealing with the death of Jack Lemmon.
Moi, je parle français, je parle pas avec.
In World War II, why did you guys bend over for Hitler? Are you thankful that America saved you? Do you vive America?
Mais pourquoi pas?
Why not?
Why not? Yes.
Vous adorez les États-Unis, oui?
Stay away from my mother.
Non, je n'ai jamais été. Je voudrais bien.
And you like it fine?
Yes.
Was this at the top of speech?
Préférez-vous France?
La France, oui?
La France et l'Amérique, c'est pour moi, c'est pareil, parce que j'ai vu en France.
Listen to Charles Aznavour over here.
Je voudrais toujours à l'Amérique.
Hold on, I've got someone else who speaks French. Hey, hello, who's this?
Hello?
Hey, Lucy?
Oui?
You really speak?
Lucy Ajou.
You really speak
Lucy
French?
Lucy Ajou.
Bien sûr.
That means Lucy with her own juices. Juicy Lucy.
Do you really speak French?
Oui, j'habite au Sénégal pour 2 mois.
Come on, speak American.
She's lived in Senegal for 2 months.
No.
Rob, you've grasped the language.
Oui, bien sûr.
Yes, of course.
Mon grand-père, il est français, il est africain.
Keep up.
She just said she was a troublesome C.
Keep up.
Hello.
Who's this?
Hey, Don and Mike.
He's too farted.
Who's this?
Hey, what's your name?
Pedro.
Pedro, you speak French?
Yeah.
Pedro.
Good. Hold on. We're going to go to a guy now, a younger guy.
Basically, the guy said, I don't speak French. I don't know what you're trying to tell me.
Okay. All right, hold on. Listen, I'm going to put you on hold. Listen to this next guy. Hold on. Tell me what he says.
Basically what he said.
Now, this is the guy who speaks a little English, right?
Pedro says.
This is the guy who speaks just a little English?
Yeah.
I said so.
He wanted to meet us halfway and speak Italian. But we just...
Here 18 miles to France.
Here he is. Speak English.
Scream real
I speak English very little.
Hi, we are from America, doing a radio show now.
I don't know very little speak.
News, nous voudrions poser des questions pour la radio américaine.
Yes. Do you speak French very little?
No, oui. I mean, oui, like oui, tiny.
I speak.
Rob has this working knowledge of the language. There's not one French word coming out of
you. No, I don't know anything.
Not even a week in France, and not one word.
No, why bother?
No, Italian. Do you like the Sopranos?
I don't know.
Would you say forget about it?
What?
Say, repeat it to me.
Oh, he's trying to get people to repeat.
This is a real exercise.
What? I'm
trying to get this guy to say forget about it.
Say this.
Forget about it.
Attendez, je comprends pas tout malheureusement.
Dire, forget about it.
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Savoir.
Forget about it. Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Ah, there. Oui. Forget about it.
Tout ce que j'ai à dire, en fait, the Côte d'Azur is very stupid for the
Jeux.
Say forget about it.
hey, Petros, did you understand what this dude's saying?
No, man, he's mumbling French. Basically, he wants to say something about the part of where he lives.
I thought you spoke French.
Well, go ahead, play for me once more.
All right, hold on, please. Well, here we go.
Are you a fan of the band Crap? That's for you, Mike.
I don't know.
Musique. La musique. C'est un orchestre qui s'appelle Crap.
The musique English?
La musique de Marlomera.
À la Céline Dion.
Céline Dion is very good.
You know, what I said was...
She's very good.
No. I said, à la Céline Dion.
Oh, yeah.
You were like Céline Dion.
Absolutely, bigger.
And he says, yes, Céline Dion's very good.
On the music, on the artists, in the Côte d'Azur, right. not respect. Pas de respect. Pour les artistes d'ici, non respect. Je veux dire,
come on now.
Angleterre.
You lost us, pal.
Est-ce que vous aimez Buddy Rich?
Yes.
Ah, oui.
Thanks, Rob. Do you love America?
Yes. I love America.
You do love America. Thank you.
Do you appreciate the fact that we saved your people in World War II?
I didn't know.
In World War II, against Hitler, we...
Le Grand Guerre.
We America.
You too.
Help saves the French.
Surprise, he's not whistling for a policeman.
American.
Oh, we do have an encounter with a policeman in a little while.
That doesn't surprise me.
Really?
You two guys towering over this.
And hold on, the best part of this is coming up when we ask the question about Buzz. So just hold on a second.
For good for society.
Oui.
American, c'est solidarity.
Oui. Solidarity, yes, oui.
For the Côte d'Azur, une stupido solidarity.
Do you know a French word for right guard?
I don't know.
Deodorant. Yeah, under your arms, the...
Hygiene in the Côte d'Azur?
Oui.
Yes. The hygiene is it's a good...
It's a fountain.
Because...
They get rid of smell.
He sounds like he's having trouble with his own language.
Let me get another guy who says he can translate. Hey, Mike?
Hey, how's it going? Bonjour, buddies.
Hey, now, can you understand what the hell this guy's saying to us?
I could barely hear it on my phone, but he's just mumbling. He's basically saying, I've got no idea what you guys are talking about.
Give me to the police officer and then take me to a fountain.
Hey, hold on. Here we go. armpit.
Yes, c'est The Côte d'Azur,
Et finalement, est-ce que vous adorez fumer?
Cigarette, I know, for nicotine, pour me calmer, pour...
Since you were small.
Ouais, voilà.
And for you.
And for a friend, how do you say friend, Rob?
Ami.
For an ami of mine.
Yes.
Where can we buy weed?
The cannabis?
Yes.
Weed.
Senior writer. Cannabis for Buzz.
Cannabis is very good, cannabis.
For Buzz. Cannabis for Mike Elston.
Utilisation for the cannabis.
Messi.
Not an international incident.
Messi. Hey, you good?
Cannabis. Fantastic.
But wait, there's more, Mike.
Oh, my God.
There's more. We still have to talk to the guys who are fixing the ATM machine.
Hey, you had a run-in with a cop?
A cop who likes cannabis. Some uncomfortable young ladies. And then I buy some stockings for Rob. Okay, so we're almost at the... How many we get? More people speak French? Is that what we got? Hello, Pierre?
Bonjour, monsieur. Mon ami.
Hey, Pierre.
Mon ami, monsieur. Comment ça va?
Hey, Pierre.
Yeah, hello.
Say forget about it.
Oubliez de ça.
All right, I don't know. You know, I don't know if any of these guys we got on the phone really speaks French or not.
Who knows?
But I know we need the help in the next couple of segments because you've heard already the best English translations that you're going to hear.
Well, I tell you, Rob speaks pretty good French.
No, Rob did fantastic. Ask him if they don't mind being on the radio. Right. And he was asking stuff about the orchestra.
Yeah, fantastic.
You had the French name for Hitler.
Well, no. That's what you were saying. Grande, the giant war. The big war.
Right.
Yeah, the big war.
What's that called, Rob?
Grand Guerre.
Grand Guerre.
But Buzz, I think you're going to find that the magic word that everyone understands is Calibus. Because we do ask everybody where we get you some weed. We will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the John and Mike Show.
I know, for nicotine, for me calmer, for...
Too small.
Ouais, voilà.
And for you.
And for a friend, how do I say friend, Rob?
Ami.
For an ami of mine.
Yes.
Where can we buy weed?
The cannabis?
Yes. For Buzz. Cannabis for Buzz.
Cannabis is very good, cannabis.
Cannabis for Mike Elston.
Legalization for the cannabis.
Merci. Merci. Merci.
Like a four-hour comedy catheter. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, I got to get right back to this tape. Next, I think we have Man Who Tries to... Oh, we just heard Man Who Tries to Speak Loves Cannabis. Man Who Isn't French. Do we want to hear that one, Rob?
I like him because he doesn't want to talk to us at all.
All right, he doesn't want to talk? Okay, here we go.
Nous voudrions poser des questions pour les radios américaines, s'il vous plaît.
Okay.
Parlez-vous anglais?
No.
Okay.
We'll try anyway. Aimez-vous America?
Je suis pas allé.
Viva l'America? Est-ce que vous aimez les États-Unis?
Viva.
What? Oh, all right. Merci.
You know, you are cranking me up on this because you're just... Rob's over there with, like, his high school and some... Just a little college French. You don't speak a syllable of French, and you'll just pop in with your...
Viva America!
All right, now we're on these guys who are fixing an ATM machine.
Oh, good, okay.
So
you're interrupting their work day.
Yeah. Where they got, let's stop these dudes.
Yeah. Bonjour. Je voudrais poser les questions pour la radio les États-Unis, s'il vous plaît. Je suis pas ici.
You're not here?
I think he just said he wasn't here.
You are here.
Yes,
these are men who are fixing an ATM right now.
Or as the French call it, ATM. Is it une brief question? Aimez-vous les États-Unis?
Oui.
Très bon. Est-ce que tu vous aimez nous?
Comment?
Now, what are you? I still don't know. I was there, and I don't know.
What are you?
I don't know what the hell he was asking.
I don't either.
I was there.
These guys looked, Donald backing up, they look like thugs. They look like toughs. I mean, I didn't know if they were breaking into the ATM,
right.
But they think it's twice.
I like what he said. We.
Yeah, I said, do you like the United States?
Yes.
Do you like us? Was the question I just asked. Do you like, yeah. Do you like us? And he just looked at us like, what the hell's the matter with you?
We, big time.
Do you like us?
Bum, bum.
No. Mon ami, you don't like us?
No.
Jerry Lewis? You know Jerry Lewis?
Bum, bum, bum.
No. Celine Dion. You like Celine Dion?
Cool.
She's cool.
Bush nicht gut.
You know what Celine Dion does with her food? She eats and then throw up and say skinny.
Très petit. Très petit.
Celine Dion, très petit.
Was there something about Bush in there?
Hold on, here, let's start this.
Did he say something about Bush? I thought I heard a Bush.
Who knows? All right. These dudes here. Hello, dudes. What?
Zidane.
Hello, dude.
Zidane.
What is Zidane?
Zidane.
Zinedine Zidane. Number one.
C'est un chanteur français?
No, c'est un footballeur.
Football. Soccer.
Good. No, we like American football. NFL.
NFL. No, c'est quoi le... Football, yes.
Oh, here's a shock. I had on a Green Bay Packers shirt. And the guy saw my shirt and he said, football. And I'm trying to explain to him now, no, not your
right.
Fag football.
Real
I think I said that to him, fag football.
Right.
Soccer is for sissy boys. Real men play American football.
Yes, it's a good meilleure protection.
Yes, a helmet and the shoulder pad.
Rugby ici en France, il n'y a pas de protection, no protection.
Rugby, right.
Okay, so he's giving it back to you a little bit, saying that they wear all the equipment and soccer players wear shorts.
Rugby, you need leather balls, right?
Des couilles.
Yes.
Des couilles.
What is your name?
Amar.
Comment vous s'appelez-vous?
Amar.
And are you from France?
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
What is... do you like America?
Yes.
As do we.
I like a girl America.
As do we.
The American girl.
Would you like to have sex with Britney Spears?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, so would we.
Listen to you.
She has fake breasts.
You know, I know.
Tony?
Fake bone?
Britney Spears? Oh, did you have to cut out?
Yeah, you are.
I said to him, does she have... do you think she has... faux idiotes.
Uh-huh.
Right. And I guess you can't say idiotes.
Okay.
I can't say
not
that?
Not even... well, if you didn't say it in pig Latin to him.
Right. You said faux.
I said, do you think she has fake
faux teas?
Which sounded very French when you said it, but we couldn't get away with
it. Does she have fake itties?
But you were gesturing, so they knew. That's how you got the laugh.
Right, okay. Les teats.
Les teats.
What is your name?
Amar.
Comment vous appelez-vous?
Amar.
And are you from France?
Hold on.
Yes.
How do I get all the way to the beginning of that?
Ay, ay, ay. Hold on, wait a minute. Yeah, you were up at the Irite.
Yeah, hold on. Let me get my way there.
Bonjour.
So it makes him laugh.
We think he's a moron.
You're talking about Jerry Lewis.
Jerry Lewis.
No. Louis.
I know. Louis wants nothing of this.
No.
Louis, there was a guy named Louis?
Yeah. How are you dealing with the death of Jack Lemmon?
Jack Lemmon?
Yes, he's dead.
Society of Security. Oh, you're a cop.
Securities.
Oh, you're a cop. Oh, you're watching them fix the ATM.
Yes.
Then I guess we...
Now, do you guys just discover he's a cop or what?
He was undercover.
This is a guy who was standing there as they were fixing the ATM and we were talking to him. He said he pulled out his badge to show us he's an undercover policeman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Should not ask you where we can buy weed.
Je comprends pas l'Américain.
Du cannabis?
Cannabis. Yes, it's good cannabis.
This is a cop?
Yeah.
That's a cop. That is a French cop.
Let me rewind that a little bit.
Okay, here we go.
It's a cop.
Hold on.
Oh, you damn machine.
That explains the sirens.
That's what they did afterwards.
I should not ask you where we can buy weed.
Je comprends pas l'Américain.
Du cannabis?
Cannabis. Yes, it's good cannabis.
That's a cop. Jerry Lewis. Are you a fan of Jerry Lewis?
Yes, Jerry Lewis, yes.
Quel film que Jerry Lewis préféré?
Tous les films.
All the films?
Yes.
Why?
Pourquoi? Parce qu'il fait rire.
He's an idiot, I think, or it really makes him laugh.
We think he's a moron. How do you say moron in French?
Idiot.
He is idiot.
Idiot.
America, you know what you think of Jerry Lewis? We spit on him.
It was good.
Yeah, he's a moron.
Do you ever watch the telethon?
Moron.
Gentleman, Jerry Lewis.
Oh, he is a gentleman.
Il a les chevaux très belles.
Pretty hair.
Très beau.
Très beau.
Forget.
He is an...
PMU, Leo. Le PMU.
Ouais.
Le PMU.
Now they're walking away from us. Well, listen, thank you for your time.
Merci.
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 Au revoir. Au revoir.
You get a little gem in with everybody. Moron.
I think we just got a couple more. Oh, the uncomfortable young ladies are next.
Yeah, they were very cute young ladies.
Okay.
The three or two French girls.
Like a pair of them, I'd say like maybe 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hold on.
Nous voudrions poser des questions pour la radio américaine, s'il vous plaît.
Nous sommes en vacances. Nous ne parlons pas bien français.
Oui.
Allô?
Hey, Jenna Bush.
Hello.
Yeah. Parlez-vous anglais?
Un petit peu.
Hey, comment vous appelez-vous?
What did you ask them, Rob?
What is their name?
Aita.
Daria.
And Donnie?
Robbie.
Donnie.
Aita,
hello.
Hello.
How are you dealing with the death of Jack Lemmon?
Quoi?
Jack Lemmon? Dead. Now at that point, I'm doing the like.
You're doing your De Niro.
I'm doing the. Or dead.
The actor?
Gone.
Where'd he go?
Don't know.
Wait. That's a égal pour moi.
Yes, it is a shame. Would you like to have, and I'm going to use a hand motion here, have sex with NSYNC?
Now, did you do this?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm doing the okay sign and putting my finger through there so the girls understand you want a bone in.
Very, very, very subtle.
No.
Well, how about sex with Backstreet Boys?
No.
How about Enrique Iglesias?
Oh, yes.
Well, yes. Oh. Would you like to have sex with him?
Yes.
How about you?
Yes.
How about sex with Ricky Martin?
No.
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 How about sex with Mike O'Mara?
I don't know Mike O'Mara.
He is a handsome American stud. He's a musician.
No, I don't know him.
How about you? Sex with Mike O'Mara?
I don't know.
You don't know.
You didn't like Ricky Martin. Do you think Ricky Martin is gay?
I don't know. It's him. It's not my problem. I don't
think. Oh, he might be.
You think he's queer?
We think he's, you know, he likes boys, men.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right. And last question for you, Leo. Two more questions. World War II.
La Grande Guerre.
Are you glad that America saved French and the French in World War II? You know, Hitler, bad man. Hitler, bad with Hitler.
Yeah,
America stomped on Hitler.
They forget about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay.
That's okay?
That's okay.
Moron. Thank us for that.
And, probably,
merci, America.
Yes, why not?
Thank you.
Very good. And there's one other question. Est-ce que vous aimez le cannabis?
Parfois, mais not toujours.
S'il vous plaît, restez. Michael Elston, aime le cannabis. Restez, s'il vous plaît.
Non, pourquoi?
We have a friend who...
Yes.
Where can we buy some cannabis?
Okay. Should I say it?
Yes.
Why?
So we can go buy some for him, for our
Buzz friend, RME.
RME.
Miss Buzz, and we want to remember
him. I want to say it.
You won't say?
Good for him.
But you do know where we can get some cannabis.
No.
Oh, you don't. We are not policemen.
No.
It's okay, but I don't know.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Merci.
Merci.
I think you guys made a great impression.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to lose my passport now.
All right. Now listen, we've got one more break of this. Oh, yes. We're going to go into the lingerie store.
And now this I'm looking forward to.
I'm going to buy Rob a pair of silk stockings.
And the woman speaks not a lick of English. Not at all.
Not at all. And then
I think she's hot, right?
Oh, very. Yeah, nice. She's very nice looking. Very attractive. As I recall, she had on like a see-through bra thing happening.
Like a clear plastic bra or something.
Really? And I think the, let me see. Oh, did we, Oh, no, first we're going to go on the bakery.
Oh, and that was a very cheerful lady.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, we might fast forward through that one.
I liked her, though.
Through the bakery, and then the idiot in the yellow pants, then the lingerie store, and then the closing.
The surprise ending, really.
The surprise. So we'll be right back to wrap up our trip to France right after this.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
A leading cause of friction bumps. The Don and Mike Show.
Okay, here we go. Back to the vacation with me and Robin France. And we're going to do some editing here. Robbie, we've just got too much tape to hear. We'll be here for the rest of the friggin' show here in this dumb tape. Uncomfortable young ladies. Okay, we'll just start going into a bakery.
Okay.
Because as I recall, she was not helpful.
No, but she was funny because she was very bubbly.
Okay, here she is.
She's a bubbly
person.
Bakery.
La 57.
Bonjour. Nous voudrions poser les questions pour la radio américaine, s'il vous plaît.
Oui, si je peux y répondre. Oui, quel genre de questions?
You speak English?
No.
No, she's a pig.
Oh, okay.
Total pig.
No. But you knew to say no, though.
Same no. Word.
Oh, no. Oh.
Same word.
Just a no.
Just a no.
Okay.
I thought I trapped her there.
Yeah.
I said, you speak English, and she said no. And
no, you knew to say no.
Yeah.
No. Comment vous appelez-vous?
Voilà.
Je m'appelle Rob. Hey, Don.
Hello.
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 This is votre pâtisserie, oui?
Pardon?
This is votre pâtisserie, oui?
Oui.
It's a bakery.
Uh-huh.
Ask her if you could have something to eat for free.
Est-ce que je peux avoir quelque chose manger pas de
sample?
Yeah, a free sample. Pas de monnaie.
Now you've got him doing it. You know, hold on a second.
Oui.
I want to give you credit for taking a bit that we did in Memphis, Tennessee one time. And then you're going to get the boy to eat. That's good.
But she won't give him food.
She won't give him free samples?
We'll give him the free food.
C'est ça, oui, bien sûr. Et puis moi, je vais dire à mes ouvriers de travailler gratuitement.
Yeah. Thank you in the background.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, sure, I don't want to hear her, Rob.
She annoys you?
Yes.
Because there was another customer behind us. She wanted us to get out of the way. Oh. And that's what she said. Just, and now here's a moron. This is very brief. This is a guy wearing bright yellow pants.
Okay, very good.
Bell bottoms.
Wow, all right.
I think this is maybe 10 seconds tops. That's the siren.
Was he sitting on top of a police car?
This is incredible sirens.
Hello, pardon. Nous voudrions poser des questions pour la radio américaine, s'il vous plaît.
What?
You want to be on the radio in America?
No, I am not speaking English. I'm sorry.
We will. Nous essayons parler français.
Ouais.
Okay. Jack Lemmon. L'acteur américain. Il est mort.
He's dead.
He's dead.
Yeah. Michel. No, he's dead. But your reaction?
Film d'action, non?
Yes, Jack Lemmon, dead.
All right,
let me ask you a different question.
Do you care?
I am sorry, I'm not speaking English. Désolé, allez, on y va.
What is your bra size?
Okay, thank you.
Guy had giant pan mitts.
Big breasts. He caught you by surprise with that one. I could hear you laughing.
He did. All right, now, this is the last day. We go in the lingerie store.
Okay.
It's like a, what do you call it? The Victoria's Secret thing.
Okay.
Grease lingerie.
Here we go.
Hello, bonjour.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Nous voudrions poser des questions pour la radio américaine, s'il vous plaît.
Oui.
Ah oui.
Ah, merci.
Parlez-vous anglais un peu?
Non.
Oui. Do you have anything that would fit me?
Wonder bra for me. This right here, Wonder Bra?
Wonder Bra.
Oh, oui.
Wonder Bra for me, for my friend Ron.
I know.
No, nothing that big?
No.
Avez-vous du cannabis?
No.
No. Could I buy for me, Rob, these right here, these silk stockings? How much? I'd like to buy...
Pas l'anglais, je ne comprends pas.
Combien de
for Robin? I want to buy. Now, you got a picture of this broad. She has no idea what we're doing.
Right.
We are in a women's lingerie store.
Right, and you're asking if you can buy Rob a Wonder Bra or some silk stocking.
And she doesn't want to sell them to us.
So then after that, when she's a little confused, Rob asks to buy some marijuana.
Yes, sir.
Further confusing her.
Right.
Woman.
They're for women.
Well, that's okay. I still want them. Could I have them, please?
Sell them to me.
Can I buy... Here's my Visa card.
Des colons?
Yeah.
Oui.
Yeah. Largest possible.
Très grand.
Grande.
Très grand.
Grande.
Grande.
Ça passe pas, ça.
El Grande.
Visa?
Non,
Visa. Peut-être,
je sais pas. Who knows? I don't know.
Now she's going to find... Yeah. Très grand. The biggest set of silk stockings I'm going to buy for you today, Rob.
Oh, beautiful. She's going into the box.
Is that?
Yes, for him.
I love her in the background.
As long as she doesn't speak English, just let me say, this girl is Trey Effable.
Yeah.
One hot piece of French ass.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow. Celebrity she most resembled?
Carly Simon without the big mouth.
Wow.
Ooh,
very really. Hot.
Very hot.
Maybe a little bit of Kelly LeBrock and Weird Science.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
Right. Real hot. Most and nothing better than looking her right in the face and just saying, one hot piece of French ass.
Right.
Not a clue what I'm saying to her. Not a clue.
Anglais, je ne comprends pas.
Combien de
for Robin? I want to buy.
Combien de le...
Sell it to me.
Il n'a pas pour les hommes. Woman.
That's a woman.
Well, that's okay. I still want them for him. Could I have them, please?
Sell them to me.
Can I buy... Here's my Visa card.
Des colons?
Yeah.
Oui.
Yeah. Largest possible.
Très grand.
Grande.
Très grand.
Grande.
Oui, d'accord. Ça passe pas, ça.
A Visa?
No,
Visa. Who knows?
I don't know.
Now she's going to find, yeah. Trey Grun.
Trey Grun.
The biggest set of silk stockings I'm going to buy for you today, Rob.
Biggest set.
Ah,
She's going into the box.
You know, I can tell she's hot by the way you guys are behaving.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is when you guys are both kind of clamming up. You're both kind of just going,
for him, yes. As long as she doesn't speak English, just let me say, this girl is Trey Effable.
Yeah.
One hot piece of French ass.
Absolutely.
And I bet she does everything.
Oh, yeah.
Oui. Elle, yes, elle, yes, oui.
Oui.
Un. That's it.
She's standing right there when and, you're saying that.
I'm going to write in the face. I swear to God, I said one hot piece of French ass. I bet she does everything by her own. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, she does.
Radio?
Oui. Yes, the radio.
American.
Washington, D.C.
New York City.
Je connais, oui, de nom.
Yes, Sacramento, Reno.
The Caribbean,
Green Bay. Rochester.
Oh, she's wearing what appears to be some kind of a see-through plastic bra.
Yeah, it's very intriguing, I should say. Oh, and a tattoo.
And I can't tell or not if she shaves her armpits. Would there be a way we could get her to lift her arms up in the air?
It says, wait, please.
Patience. We're waiting now for my Visa card to go through. And Rob, this is a lovely pair of... A lovely pair of silk stockings I purchased.
That's marvelous. Dentelle en vérité.
Oui, oui.
What's funny is even when
travesti?
I'm going to figure out how to say we're partners.
You know, it is a sexy language.
Lovers. Lovers.
Very.
Yeah, look up lovers. Right, now, Rob is going to his dictionary, and he's going to look up, and he's going to tell the girl that Rob and I are lovers.
He's going to tell the girl the truth.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
Rob has the English to French dictionary now, and he's going to look up we're lovers.
And we say French.
Mon ami,
Un moment.
Faggots?
That's
a man. Nous sommes amants.
Oui?
Oui, amants.
Us two.
Yeah.
See the wedding ring?
Yeah.
Married.
Je suis la honte.
I just thought I was the man.
Hey! No, I am the man.
Marina Langley, je comprends?
I believe she's telling the child to leave the room now.
I think there's a question about...
Oh, yeah, there's like a five-year-old in the back of the room.
Oh, no.
And now that she thinks we're fags, now she's asked him to leave the room.
Leave the room, please.
$20.
Yes. Merci.
Signe. S'il vous plaît.
Did you see her breast?
My gift to you, darling. When I looked down her shirt, yes, I could.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
I
feel like we're right there.
She leaned over to hand me the Visa thing to sign.
We speak English here, Don. I wanted to share that.
Sorry.
Yes,
that.
I can.
Thank you, baby. I'll think of you when I wear them.
Okay. Merci beaucoup.
Merci.
Did we ask her about Jerry yet?
No. Jerry Lewis?
Hold on, I got to go right to the next thing.
It's our last presentation for you. This is where we're now, we've left the lingerie store, and I'm going to present the stockings to a woman who's having a cup of coffee at an outdoor cafe.
Terrific.
Now, Rob, is our final France treat. The stockings I've just brought you, I'm going to give to a woman sitting at a cafe.
I think that'll be a lovely gesture.
Hopefully a petite
woman. A gift
woman.
From America.
Yeah.
Oh, anything but,
really.
Yeah. A big, big fatty.
Pardon. Bonjour. Je voudrais poser des questions pour la radio américaine, s'il vous plaît.
Vas-y.
Yes, and what? Qu'est-ce que tu veux faire maintenant?
Nous avons des cadeaux pour toi.
Comment,
I just said that. I said we have a gift for you.
A gift for me.
Wait, for you. These stockings. Would you take them, please?
No,
please. They don't fit my friend here. Would you please take them? I just bought them.
S'il vous plaît, pour toi.
Oui.
From America.
From America. Yes.
From America.
Thank you very much.
Yes. You're very
welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Au revoir.
Bye-bye.
And remember, this is not the first time America has helped you out.
Okay. Don't forget WW2.
That's right. Never forget. I think she was aboard the Arizona. Well, Don, here we are in Grasse, and I think we should say bye-bye. Or au revoir.
Au revoir. Now we're going to go meet our wives who have been on the Cunny shopping tour for the last hour.
They said that they were going to tour perfumeries.
And Rob, the next time they see you, it'll be stateside.
Thank goodness. Don, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Merci beaucoup and au revoir.
Bravo!
Bravo!
That is, in fact, our...
good job, fellas.
Our trip to France.
It was like a movie.
You guys did France really well. I feel like I'm in the country.
Have you heard it all, Mike?
That was good stuff.
All except... Hold on. Ricciuto, come on. We got one last siren to play for you.
Ah, good.
One last French police car going by. Damn, we love that.
That's the funniest thing. That is really the best.
You too.
Rob with his hat on.
The end.
There they go.
Here you go.
The best.
What a day.
What a day.
And not a small car.
A big one.
No, a big one, yeah.
Like a Land Rover or something like that?
Oh, no, not that fancy.
Not that fancy.
The biggest car you see over there is like a medium, like a Toyota, like a Camry.
Hey, what about the smart cars?
Those things look like the front third of a minivan.
Really?
They look like they just stopped.
And they chopped off in the back?
I swear to God, you see automobiles over there that have bicycle tires.
Bonjour.
little cars.
Oh, thank you for your kind indulgence.
That was wonderful.
Now, hopefully we'll be able to actually write this trip off now since we've spent most of the show playing our tape.
I would think so.
Now, Mike?
Yes.
Good luck topping that.
I can't.
Oh, come on. But you did have a vacation.
I did.
Do you have visual aids?
I have visual aids, which is the farmer's knot that's going to come out of my left nostril. Because, gentlemen, I was sick every single day of my vacation.
We'll save it for our next break, okay?
It'll be short.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
I'm doing steady, and I fresh kiss.
Well, everybody says that.
Yeah, but Daddy says I'm the best at it.
Dirty Pop. God freaking damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Out of here and all. Right. I guess tomorrow we'll catch up on all the stuff that we haven't gotten to in the last week, like the Paula Poundstone, whatever she's doing to her kids, and talk about fireworks. Bought a bunch. Not able to use them. The new Big Brother's on tonight.
Right.
The AJ Soprano is busted.
Lots of stuff going on. You know, we leave town, and, I mean, everything goes to hell.
Yeah. Red Sox are out of the first-place lead in the American League East.
Yeah, but they're hanging tough.
And does all of that tomorrow. Plus, tomorrow we'll have, in time for the All-Star Game,
yes,
Rudy Martsky and Jack Buck from Fox Sports.
Jack Buck, the younger Jack Buck.
Yes, the young Buck.
Jack Buck.
And I think tomorrow the return of Chaz Stossel to the show.
Very
but,
good.
But now, Mike, and your vacation,
I will tell you that, you know, quite often you will come back and you will tell stories of your vacation, and I will tell stories of my vacation. But what happened to me, I was sitting here thinking that the fact that my flight was canceled and the fact that I had an entire evening, you know, blown, and I had to wait till the next day to get on another flight, and I couldn't get to my final destination. I was saying to myself, this is just about as bad as it gets, and I was going to thank my good friends once again at United Express for helping me out with this, but I listened to you on a plane for 9 hours, and it doesn't seem like I should even complain about it.
But British Airways hasn't called yet. Hey, BA, how about a BJ?
You know, I will tell you that I that night of my birthday, the last show, you know that I was leaving to go up to Maine to see my family up in Maine at about 10 o'clock at night. Because when we travel late with my two daughters, because they're young, they fall asleep on the plane, and it goes very smoothly. We've done it a couple of times, and it works real well. So we had this late night plane flight that we were going to take out of Washington, D.C. And you guys know the kind of weather we were getting on Friday night. They were the worst thunderstorms that we had all year around Washington, D.C. And I kept calling my wife during the show, and I said, did you check with the airline? She said, yes, I did. Flight's on time. I said, hey, there's no way it can be. She said, look, I called. I said, did you speak to a human being? She said, no, I heard the automated thing. I said, well, talk to somebody at the ticket counter. And incidentally, but before I get home, just make sure there's like a cup there with ice in it. Because I am a phobic flyer,
yes.
And I haven't flown, you know, all our trips up to New York, you guys have been, you know, doing the flying, and I take the train for that very reason. And this is just about as bad weather-wise as it gets. I mean, this is horrible thunder. Thunder and lightning, but I you know.
Almost as bad as the weather was last night.
Yeah, almost as bad as it was last night.
Oh, no.
saps
right.
that went downtown. Now, they did do the fireworks downtown last night.
Amazing. I actually went back. We were up at a place where we were going to watch them, and we came back home, and we loaded the kids in the car, and they were kind of going, no, we want to see. The fireworks aren't going to happen, and as soon as we got in the car, that's when the skies opened up. So that actually worked out real well. They were postponed until Friday. So we get to the airport, and I go home first, and Laura does the driving, and I've got a tumbler of little spirits.
Now, Buzz gave you a gallon of that whiskey that
he
you
did,
like.
Happy
birthday on Friday.
You know, I would have tapped into his, but fortunately we had a little at home left over.
Really?
And so that's what I used. And I've got this big, tall one. I've got one. I pour one. I figure the flight's at 10:10. I'm going to get to the airport about 9. I pour one that's going to just set me up so that if we do, God forbid, get on a plane at this hour of the night, I'm going to be okay with it. Everything's going to be fine. So Laura calls, speaks to a live human being. Said, yes, the flight's on time. We get to the airport, go down to the ticket counter. Your flight is not leaving at 10:10. It has been delayed till 12:20. Now, meanwhile, I'm looking outside, and it's just the typhoon has arrived. It's horrible. It's thundering. It's lightning. I go up to the local little restaurant, and I get them to hold things open until they close at 9 o'clock at Dulles Airport.
Was it TGI?
TGI
Friday?
McFriday. Chili Eye McFriday.
Yeah.
You know, they're actually holding it open because so many people have been inconvenienced, and so we go up there. And I'm real happy about this. About 11 o'clock, we go down to the ticket counter. Your flight's been canceled. And what they do, really, and anybody knows this that flies commuter jets or commuter airlines, little prop planes, when they cancel your flight, it's not like when you're going over to Europe where you've got hundreds of people that they're accommodating. You've got 25, 30 people that they have to accommodate. And what they say is your flight's been canceled. Good night.
Right.
Now, before this, I'd actually had, you know, about a half of my cup of spirits, and I'm walking through the airport, and I see on the board that next to my flight, I thought it said charter. So we walk up to the ticket counter, and Laura says, you still have your cup? I said, yes. And apparently, there's some ordinance where you're not supposed to have an open container of alcohol. So I walk up to the counter, and I said to the lady, and apparently, I thought I was speaking perfectly normally, but it came out of my mouth where I walked up to the ticket counter, and I said to the lady, excuse me, it says charter next to our flight. And at that point, Laura grabs my arm and says, stop it. I said, no, it just says charter.
Is it a charter?
Does that mean it's going to go out instead of the regular planes? And she's squeezing a little harder, and she says, you've had too much to drink. And so I backed away, and that's when they ask the question, has anyone touched your luggage? You know, not that I'm aware of, miss. And, you know, this is before they canceled the flight. So they canceled the flight. I've got my kids down at the luggage thing. We're going to wait and get our luggage. We don't know what the hell we're going to do. There is no business of, hey, come back tomorrow. We could wait 24 hours. But we don't want to do that because it's a much shorter trip than you had, and we're thinking there's some options there. So
now you're just going to Maine, right?
Just going up to Maine, you know, flying into that beautiful city of Portland, Maine. That city, I really love that city. Portland's a great city. We're going to fly up there, the Jetport, the Portland International Jetport, where my cousin Teddy lives.
Dog catcher.
He said, thank you for the dog catcher.
The dog catcher.
So we get back down to luggage, and, well, let's get our luggage, and we'll just go because our flight's been canceled. We'll either drive. We'll take a flight somewhere else, or we'll work it out and we'll go home.
Well, you certainly couldn't drive.
I couldn't drive, and the option was being explored that maybe we drive all night, and I was of no help here. You know, I would not be able to help my family, and I'm not going to do this. So what happens is we get down waiting for our luggage. Well, here's the deal. There's so much lightning at Dulles Airport that they say they're not letting their work crews out on the apron, as your pilot said, to get the luggage back.
Oh.
So we're trapped. The flight has been canceled, and they can't get our luggage. Then there's this one really good guy that comes out in the yellow slicker, and he actually hunted down our luggage.
The Gordon's Fisherman.
The Gordon's Fisherman came out there. And meanwhile, you know, and he came back, and I said, thanks so much. Can I give you something? And I reach in, you know, for a five to give him, you know, for he said, no, that's my job. Not necessary. I said, but please, he helps us out so much. Laura began to squeeze my arm again. You know, because then I'm like, well, what are we going to do now? And I really want to apologize because I wasn't all that helpful to my family in this time of need. We go back, and I'm on the phone with travel people till about 3:30 in the morning, and we found out that the only flight we could get was a flight to Boston that left at 7 a.m. from National Airport, which is a lot further away from where I live. So I had 45 minutes of sleep. Got on the plane, made it up to Boston, drove. You know, we got the pleasure of flight, you know, and going through airports, combined with the benefits of a long drive. So, I mean, we got the best of everything with that. And, I really want to thank the incredibly helpful people. Because, really, when you call the airlines, as I'm sure you know, you call the airlines and they are basically just F you. That's mm-hmm. the attitude.
Right.
So many flights get canceled. Mm-hmm. There's so much crap that goes on now with all this deregulation of the air industry. They don't care. Mm-hmm. They know you're going to get mad, and they could care less.
Right.
I ended up hanging up on the lady at United because she was just such an unbelievable, nasty person to me. And, it got worked out. But compared to what you went through, it wasn't that big a deal. But with 45 minutes of sleep,
Mike is sick today.
Yeah. No, Mike was sick the very first day of vacation.
You just spoke to yourself in third person.
Mike O'Mara was ill. I'm allowed to speak of myself in third person when I finally got to my destination up in Maine, and I'm sitting on the porch, and I go, I feel this little thing. And this little thing has been with me now for the better part of 2 weeks.
Mm.
And my mom, my 81-year-old mom, God love her, she said, well, you know what they say, treat a cold and it lasts 2 weeks. If you don't treat a cold, it will last a fortnight. And I guess a fortnight is ye old Yankee speak for cold. And I'm like, well, I guess I'll have to tell the ye old pilgrims that they won't be able to deliver ye old olden vine thee they thee.
I know you're waiting for me to come in with the AIDS joke, but I'm not going to.
Fortnight is 20 days.
Really?
Yeah. How you feeling?
I'm not going to do
an AIDS joke.
You're not going to do an AIDS joke?
No.
What do you mean?
Because you're sick.
An AIDS joke?
Because I don't think you have AIDS.
I don't have AIDS.
I think you have cancer.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Cancer. That incredible cancer symptom of a runny nose. Of nasal congestion.
The first time.
Absolutely. You'll notice that I don't have the number ones of the big C after gaining like 150 pounds.
No,
feet of cold. I tell you, I went through that one. Feet of cold. But it was good. We had a good time. Wasn't as bad as yours. I got sick. I didn't taste any food for a whole week. I came back last night home because I wanted to see the fireworks, and the effing fireworks were canceled too. But I did, I did enjoy a toddy once in a while, and that was it. Other than that, not much happening. I didn't meet any celebrities. You know, got out on a boat, saw a couple of fish, sat on the porch, saw my family. My family pisses me off. You know, I mean, my immediate family does. You know what? My extended family that I used to have tensions with and stuff, we got along very well.
Good.
My cousin Ted, who I had dinner with, he says hi. You know, he wants to thank you for the dog catcher. He wasn't in town when we did our shows up there, but apparently it got back to him. You might find that amazing. It got back to him that, we talked about that. But, my sister and my mother, as I always talk about, it's just a week of wearing me down and making me feel completely unimportant. Really making me feel like the little kid again, the youngest one in the family, Oh, Michael. I could wake up in the morning, walk out on the porch. If my mom and my sister were there, I said, what a beautiful day. They'd say, well, come on, not that beautiful. I said, sky's blue. It's beautiful. 75 degrees. Yeah, okay. You know what I mean? Anything I say.
Right.
Anything I say is just, and I realize now, at the age of 42, it's never going to change, and I just have to accept it. I have to accept that in their eyes, I will always be this young, putz. And it's very, very frustrating as I raise my own children because I hope it doesn't overlap. I hope that, at some point, my sister and my mom treat my kids beautifully.
Wait until your kids are old enough to realize
that they're going to tap into this.
No, that your mom and your sister treat you like a putz.
Well, what's going to happen when that happens is they're going to turn around and probably go, hey, it's okay to treat daddy like a putz.
Right.
Now they're young enough where daddy is kind of daddy.
But they're already seeing mommy grab daddy's arm at the airport.
Yes, this is what. Well, they weren't even. They were over in another area.
And
they were in the smoking lounge.
You're forgetting the most important news of your vacation.
What was that?
He bought the same fag shoes as Rob wears.
These are. I'm going to give him a plug. These are Clarks.
Yeah.
And they are the most comfortable shoes I have ever. They're not house
for today's
slippers.
Modern faggot.
You know, and if anybody's going to be talk about footwear, the distinguished gentleman from Kansas ought to keep his Rockport mouth shut over there.
I'm not wearing Rockport.
You know, what are you wearing today?
Hiking boots.
Are you wearing your, oh, you're wearing your. Yeah, okay. Who has the gayer footwear? I'm going to put up. I'm going to put up my look against
it. Now, Buzz, you look like you could be in the Village People. Are you wearing your shorts again?
Yeah, and the boots. Yes,
shorts and the boots.
As main as Mike used to call it, the main. Look,
it's not, well, you know, it's not the main look. It's the more like, let's meet George Michael in the bathroom look.
Oh, no.
That's all right, though. But these are...
Yeah.
Buzz had trouble on his vacation, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Buzz had a flight delay on his, too. Everybody, you know what? Take the train if you're not going to school.
No, I do 16 hours on the train.
You're in a foreign country.
Stay
if you're
home.
In the United States, take the train.
Traveled by train in Paris.
Stay home.
Hated it.
You hated it?
Absolutely.
All right.
Well. Smelled bad. Armpit.
Rolled down the windows.
But I had a good vacation. Outside of the fact that I feel like I was cheated. I don't feel like I had a vacation. I was sick every day of my vacation.
When you have those shoes, every day will be a vacation.
Thank you, Rob.
Those are like shoes that a crippled boy would wear.
That little crippled boy.
All right, let's go to
house slippers.
To Buzz with the News. All things
in a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people. He made it up.
Did I hear you just say house slippers?
Yes, you did. They're house slippers. They're fuzzy on the inside.
No,
they have elastic on the side.
Look at that. They're leather. They've got a rubber sole.
Right.
With
yeah.
Clark on them, and they're very nice.
Very nice. They're Paula Poundstone shoes.
They're made in Portugal with a leopard with a leopard with a leather upper a leper other.
Buzz, what is your lead story tonight on the news?
Hey, wasn't that a good segment?
Yes, it was.
Glad I came in today. Glad I could help the show, guys. Still gotta kick this thing.
Yeah, good luck, Mike.
Don't forget, it's not AIDS. It's cancer.
That's right. Yeah, because of my incredible weight loss.
Buzz, what is your lead story tonight?
Tonight, Sopranos kid tries to beat the rap.
All right, AJ. Get the AJ tapes out, Robbie. All right, stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
Coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very...
YMCA professional.
Number one, Arbitron Radio. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
They invite prostitutes to join in.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Come on, you stinking hoes. News time with Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
News and comment tonight brought to you by GolfRealm.com. For everything golf, go to GolfRealm.com. It's right there on your computer thing. And now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Man, is Tony Soprano ever going to be steamed about this?
Well, he will be on tomorrow's show, I'll tell you that.
Oh, he's mad. 16-year-old Robert Eiler, who plays Anthony Jr. on The Sopranos, has been arrested on robbery and drug charges, as you may have heard.
Mm-hmm.
Police say Eiler and three friends cornered two other teenagers and got about $40 off of them in New York one night early this week. One of Eiler's friends was armed with a box-cutting knife and reportedly asked the victims, "You want to die?"
We're here with AJ, Robert Eiler, who did the greatest thing last year by saying, "Well, you got to say it for me."
Oh, come on. I did it once. That's it.
Oh, come on. One more.
No, because then and next year you'll want another one.
Absolutely.
And another one. I don't have it in me.
Got to say it.
I can say something else with in it.
I like that. How about you never listen to the f***ing Don and Mike show?
You never listen to the f***ing Don and Mike show.
But you can listen to him on f***ing N.E.W. every night.
You can listen to the f***ing N.E.W. every night.
Thanks so much for your time.
All right, thank you.
Way to treat the felon like an adult, Rob.
Down at the station house, a cop asked Eiler, "Why are you doing this? You've got an acting career." Police say he answered by saying, "Don't concern yourself with my acting career. I'm a millionaire."
Hey!
He's now out on $2,500 bail. The actor who played Jackie Aprile Jr. was at Eiler's arraignment last night.
Oh, that's a kiss of death. Why would you want him there?
Well, he was comforting Robert's mother, who was weeping at the time.
I just thought I'd offer some moral support. He was busted.
Jackie Aprile.
I'm so glad he got shot.
Jackie Aprile's dead.
Today's developments. Robert Eiler's out with a statement in which he denies the robbery allegations and says he is terribly embarrassed about his brush with the law. call.
The password is good lawyer.
What, no effing ZD? In the statement, Eiler says he has never and would never rob anyone. His manager says Eiler is freaked out about the incident and that the whole thing is, and I quote, a crazy mix-up.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
All I gotta say is this one crazy mix-up.
Yeah, really crazy when he took the knife out.
California Congressman Gary Condit skipped 3 4th of July appearances yesterday.
Guilty.
Getting guiltier by the minute.
He stayed out of sight after a United flight attendant said Condit had her sign a document denying they'd ever had an affair.
Yeah, and it was one of the old ones, too.
The flight attendant...
Man, that's cold.
It is. Yeah, one of the real old ones.
No, you're kidding, Mike. I saw her interviewed on Fox News.
Right. Yeah,
she was actually quite foxy. Here she is now, the stew, who says that she got it on with the Congress.
Very good.
Oh, my God. I had no idea it was so big.
She is younger. She knows now.
Yes.
How do you feel about the congressman?
Ma'am?
You know, the skirt's been riding on my ass all day long.
Well, that's how it starts.
Right, but listen, let me ask you something. Do you think that the congressman had anything to do with the girl, the other girl he was banging, with her being missing?
What are you doing underneath those blankets?
Oh, dear.
We're doing an interview. What do you think we're doing?
I'm really glad I met you at the pool today.
Could you answer the questions, please?
What about Congressman Condom? Well, what's his name again, Buzz?
You got it right, Don. Gary Condom.
Gary Condom. Oh, what is your thought on Gary Condom, please? Stewardess. Congressman Condom.
How
about
you take off my clothes?
Oh, yeah. There you go. That says it right there. Well, big trouble for Congressman Condom.
What? Do you mind if I just sit on it?
You dumb whore.
That flight attendant is one of 6 women who've been interviewed by the FBI as it tries to find out what happened to a Washington, D.C. intern who's been missing for over 2 months now. The young woman's parents say they believe their daughter was having an affair with Condit. Sources tell the New York Post, meanwhile, that the feds were getting increasingly frustrated at the lack of cooperation from Condit's wife. Condit's lawyer today said that his wife met with D.C. police today, who, by the way, say they think that too much time has gone by to consider this a possible suicide at this point. They say that they think Chandra Levy is either in hiding or has been the victim of perhaps foul play. Condit's lawyer, the congressman's lawyer, says that
Congressman Condom
doesn't want to feed what he calls the misguided media frenzy.
Right, right. Man, that's cold.
Doesn't mind feeding the tube steak, though.
Well, hold on, Buzz. Right. Got to do this. Be right back.
Number 1, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, my hog, queer bait.
Hi, Buzz.
I miss him. Hi, Donna Mike.
We'll see him next week, Mike.
Oh, very good. Good.
The kids from her neighborhood are coming to the defense of comedian Paula Poundstone.
Because we will be in New York next week, Thursday and Friday, from NEW.
Very good.
Right, Pete?
Just my left ball, dimwit.
There's no need for that, Peter.
Right.
Paula Poundstone's pleading innocent to charges of child molestation. She's charged with 3 counts of lewd acts on a girl under 14 and 1 count of endangering 4 other minors. The 41-year-old has 3 adopted children and 2 foster children, all of whom are now in protective custody. And for now, she's not allowed to be around any unsupervised minors.
Shocking to me.
But neighbors and their kids demonstrated outside the courtroom Tuesday showing their support for Paula. They say she's just a big kid herself and that she's good with children.
Why would such a pretty, funny lady have to do that?
I don't understand. I don't understand. I mean, you know, and just her and the house... No kids.
Right.
And a house full of men's suits.
And ties.
Okay, she even rented a fire truck for a neighborhood party.
Hey.
If convicted, she faces more than 13 years in prison. She'll be back in court on the 30th.
She drove around in the fire truck thinking they wanted to touch her hose. Fourth of July.
Miss Poundstone.
I guess the cookout with Rosie is off then this weekend.
For sure.
Parker!
Look at
my cover, my magazine!
Fourth of July.
My bandage
stand. Fourth of July mishap roundup.
Oh, no.
Okay. Yes, this will be fun.
Let me highlight this for you, Buzz.
All right.
This is a roundup. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, the long series, there's 4 or 5 items here.
Okay, here we go.
All very short. First one. 13 people got hurt by Mother Nature's fireworks. Folks in New York, Maryland, and Florida were hit by lightning. No one died.
Booyah!
That's good. But we are our own worst enemies. A fireworks barge off Atlantic City caught fire and shot most of its finale into the water.
We've done that.
Booyah!
The Coast Guard had to rescue the crew. No death or serious injuries.
Oh, Buzz, no death? What's the happiness in
it? I'm warming up. I'm a hills in.
Oh, dear.
In northern Indiana, Jim Dixon couldn't figure out why his mortar-type firework hadn't gone off, so he looked into the ceiling.
Oh, no.
Boom. He's alive, but just barely. In Altoona, Pennsylvania, a man whose 9-year-old son was killed by a homemade cannon says he hopes something good can come out of that.
Jesus.
And in Kansas City, a man thought he had found the perfect place to hide his really good fireworks for his friends. They put them in the oven. Fire officials estimate the damage at $20,000. Speaking of explosions, here comes the Pop Rocks controversy again. The parents of a 5-year-old California girl are suing Baskin-Robbins over what happened after she ate the new Shrek sherbet.
What? What happened?
Young Fifi went to the hospital.
Incredible!
After eating the Shrek swirl, a mixture of grape and sour apple sherbet.
You like it, don't you, Charlie?
I do. It's good, Don.
The sherbet contains Pop Rocks, a candy that crackles when it meets with human saliva.
Yeah, it makes your whole go tingling in your mouth.
The parents say the Pop Rocks exploded in Fifi's stomach instead of on her tongue.
Oh, wimp.
Pop Rocks
have been the violent
urban legend.
Mikey died eating them.
Well, that was one of the rumors. There's even a website.
The cereal boy died.
No, he's very much alive. He's made a new commercial.
No,
that's just Charlie.
Mikey died.
Charlie, no, he's alive.
Mikey died eating Pop Rocks.
There's Nintendo, Charlie.
There's a new commercial with Mikey.
You're alive. Wrong,
Buzz. Oh, okay. There's even a website dedicated to these stories, and they include the false rumor that Pop Rocks killed the kid who played Mikey in the original.
Get to know Charlie.
Life
cereal commercials, I know.
Put it up in his stomach.
You know, just be careful with Pop Rocks, Charlie.
Just pieces of stomach pumping up.
It may be. Buzz.
All right.
Hold on. Right. Sorry.
There's blood in my stool.
I'm surprised.
One more stop. We'll be back with another full segment of News and
Comedy. My butt is bleeding.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Hey!
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 Hey! The carts are queued.
Hey!
Hey!
Hey, Mike!
we'll just wait. Okay. Hold on, there it is. Hey!
Everybody get out of here! There's a lobster loose!
Baron of the Cheese Biz, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right, there it is.
Everybody get out of here, there's a lobster loose.
Now here's Buzz.
It could be a long time before anyone breaks the current record for eating hot dogs.
Everybody get out of here, there's a lobster loose.
The effing thing is
it's gone crazy.
Uncued when I want to play it, and now every time I play it.
Everybody get out of here, there's a lobster loose.
It's immediately queued up.
That's too much Bill Murray.
Everybody get out of here, there's a lobster loose.
Is that Belushi?
No, I think it's Jason Chong.
No, that's Bill Murray that's Murray from the Stripes.
Everybody get out of here, there's a lobster loose.
I always thought it was Belushi.
I think it's Cheech and Chong.
No, it's Bill Murray.
It's not Cheech and Chong.
Bill Murray.
I don't know.
How do we solve this?
Hold on. Hello.
Stripes.
Hey, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Is this you?
That's one great thing about the show. There's always someone calling.
There's always an expert.
Right. Dan.
Yeah.
Listen, man, that tape was hilarious. The guy was telling you that nicotine relaxes him.
Okay, hold on. Thank
I would
you.
Put that vote down for Cheech and Chong.
Thank you. No, he's talking about the French tape. Two
right.
hours.
I understand, right. But put that down as a vote for Cheech and Chong.
Hey,
what's wrong with Italy, man, and San Remo and the islands of Greece? Why do you have to go and spend your summer with his stingy friends?
Get out of here. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, you're right, Don. It's from Stripes. It's Bill Murray.
No, that was Mike who said that.
That was me, sir.
No, I am so sorry.
Yeah, you should be. Hello, Don and Mike.
That's Steve Martin, isn't it? The jerk?
No.
No.
Steve Martin is a jerk. You know, everybody got here. The new phone booths are here.
Look at it. I just played it again. You know why, Robbie? It's got a bad cut on it. Look at that, would you? I hate to tear your wife of your eighth meal of the day. Hello, Don and Mike show.
That's from Animal House. That's Belushi.
Everybody get out of here. There's a lobster loose.
I think, Don, you could end it right there, couldn't you?
Yeah, good.
Because I think you're right.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, it's Bill Murray, for sure. It's off the National Lampoon's first record.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
It's Bill Murray doing Todd at Todd and Lisa Lubner from SNL.
That's the winner, I think.
Bingo!
It's not Bill Murray from Stripes? No, I think it's Bill Murray when he did the when he was the boyfriend of Gilda Radner.
But doesn't he? Isn't there a scene in Stripes with Lobster when they have the girls come over?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello,
Don and Mike. Hello.
Hi, I wanted to tell Don and Mike about that recording they're playing. It is Bill Murray.
From what movie?
It's not from a movie. It's from the first National Lampoon album, like that other guy said.
Everybody get out of here. There's a lobster loose.
Second rule for that.
All right. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello. That's Paula Poundstone at her last pool party.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, that's how it works.
Or it could have been Rocker Tommy Lee.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Everybody get out of here. There's a lobster loose.
Troubled rocker Tommy Lee.
Mm-hmm. This pool party.
That's right.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Could be a long time before anybody breaks the current record for eating hot dogs. The old record was broken yesterday as Takeru Kobayashi won the annual Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on New York's Coney Island.
Well, my money's always on this guy.
You can do it. Using a two-fisted technique, Kobayashi downed 50 dogs in 12 minutes.
You're not going to believe this.
The old record was just over 25 dogs, set by another Japanese man.
Man. If it was a Korean, I believe you really ate dogs.
Kobayashi only weighs 131 pounds, at least that's what he weighed before the contest. His work stunned the judges, who only had 30 dogs on their scorecards. He ate 50. They had to scramble to keep up. He danced as he ate, and afterward he said he might have room for another 20. Quoting a competitor, what he did was not real. It was frightening. McDonald's. McDonald's is being sued by an 11-year-old boy in Detroit who says he bit into a cheeseburger and found maggots.
That's yes. A new low.
Yes.
It supposedly happened at the boy's home on June 19th. Quoting his lawyer, his sister is standing next to him and starts freaking out because she sees these things crawling around his mouth out of his mouth. The rest of the cheeseburger and the boy's vomit were kept as evidence.
Gross.
McDonald's called the story questionable, especially since it isn't clear how much time passed between the sale of the burger and its consumption.
Mark it. Have a McMaggot.
and Buzz, who am I to tell you, but, you know, what was your lead story tonight?
The story was about Robert Eiler, the kid from Sopranos.
Yeah, no, I don't. I would have gone with the
McDonald's.
The McMaggot, yeah.
McMaggot. Well, you know, it could be false.
We have so many maggots.
Yeah.
There's somebody who really liked that story. He'd lead with it.
After all these years,
we have so many maggots on the line, and maggots on the line. I'm now for the Vietnamese programming. I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Blower activate.
Now ring off. After all these years, Playboy's getting into the hardcore pornography business. The magazine empire is buying. They're buying the three hardcore channels now owned by Vivid.
Yeah, I love Dick.
Playboy currently owns three softcore channels, Playboy TV and the two Spice networks. But those channels have started losing money while business is booming for Vivid's hardcore networks. In fact, they are twice as popular as the softcore channels.
Because they show geesh.
Vivid, which produces the videos, currently owns Vivid TV, the Hot Network, and Hot Zone. Although much of the deal is secret, experts say the three hardcore channels could be worth over $50 million.
Just for me and Mike alone.
Through DirecTV and AT&T, the hardcore channels reach 30 million of America's 85 million cable and satellite homes.
I only have one question. How do you buy stock?
Get in on the ground floor.
Jizz TV. Thank you, Bob.
You bet.
Time for a call 100 right now. 877-365-3636.
The J Network.
We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio. The Don and Mike Show.
Well, I have a microphone. And you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
They try their damn best.
Right.
Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Here we are now at Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In sports, Venus Williams says once isn't enough when it comes to winning Wimbledon. She's on her way to a second win after beating Lindsay Davenport in the semifinals today. Williams will now face the woman who upset Jennifer Capriati in the semifinals. The man behind the Big Bertha driver has died. Golf equipment pioneer Ellie Callaway.
Ely.
Ely, thank you, turned his company into the biggest club maker in the world with the introduction of his Big Berthas. A couple of...
Bulletin, death bulletin.
What?
It's a death bulletin.
Oh, okay. For the guy who invented the Big Bertha.
Right. I thought it was Jimmy Castor, actually.
No. Well, that's the Jimmy Castor Bunch.
The Bertha Butt Boogie.
A lovely
that's
song.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum.
She's one of the Butt Sisters.
Bum, 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 bum.
A couple of former Rutgers University basketball players and their former team manager are suing their ex-coaches for making them run naked during practice. All three left the school after they said they were humiliated by a sexually offensive drill.
Now.
Yes?
Take down those shorts. And do some running for me.
Here we go.
Come on.
Dangle, dangle.
Let me fade you.
They say the coaches staged a free throw contest 4 years ago in which players had to take off an article of clothing for every shot they missed.
Oh, you rimmed that one out.
They said they went
little
along.
Little Johnny, take off that jock strap. Tomorrow it's the Klingon drill.
They said they went along thinking it would stop at underwear. They say it didn't stop there, though. Former NFLer Andre Rison did not get married today as planned to the woman who once burned down his house. Rison was set to marry TLC singer Lisa Left Eye Lopez in Atlanta today, but the ceremony was reportedly postponed so she could finish shooting a music video.
What is that joke we saw, Ralph? Yeah, they're registered at State Farm.
I like that. Finally, police have shut down an adults-only shop in Cambodia for selling sex toys the cops say are dangerous.
Rod Roddy.
The cops say these sex toys are dangerous because they are so large. The sex shop was closed on its first day of business. The owner now faces 15 years in prison. Police say some of the dildos were so big, they, quote, easily could have injured Cambodian women.
Oh, no.
A police spokesman showed some of the toys to reporters and said, quote,
you're not going to believe this.
He said, quote, look. These are not going to fit anywhere. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No!
Yeah, that's it. Gotta go.
Hope you feel better tomorrow.
Yeah.
Great.
Remember, it's not AIDS.
That's right, answer.
Not stop that.
Cancer.
We'll see you tomorrow with a regular Friday get-together. Great to be back, and thank you for listening. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, I'm caller honored.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, you kind of said that with a question mark, but sure. What's your name?
My name's Tom.
Tom, where are you from, Tom?
I'm from Iowa, baby.
All right, Tom. You want a gift basket from VirginiaGiftBasket.com? Call them 866-361-1321 or go online to order a basket, but wait, there's more. You also won the Sex and the City prize pack. Don't miss the sexiest show on TV, Sex and the City. Sunday night, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, only on the HBO, the home box office. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right, old man. Hold the line, please.
Okay.
See you tomorrow with a new episode. Thank you. Good night, Buzz.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Good night. Robbie.
Hey.
There you go.
My French buddy.
Traveling buddy. Throw that hat in the air, please. Just like Sydney. Oops. Tyler. More.
You might just make it after all.
Oh.
My hand rested ready for love.
See you tomorrow.
Good luck, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
Number one, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike Show.